Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike,
tomorrow,
there'll
be no
Molly Coddle.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Now let's talk to Bob in Westchester. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you.
First, I want to say that I never missed a show, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, that's listening.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the topic you're covering this morning regarding full-blown AIDS and the fact that just because people lead a lifestyle that where they get the full-blown AIDS, it doesn't mean they're going to H-E-double the hockey stick just because they've, you know, gotten the full-blown AIDS either from having an unclean taint or from being BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show. And I think that it really is interesting that although I believe I am going to H-E double hockey sticks just for...
Well, anyway, we hope that some interesting people... Well, anyway, we've been dealing...
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And Patsy Gold.
Remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
I don't appreciate the French as a people. I find them annoying.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
Something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirts, no shoes, no ties.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
As long as I've been living, the French have been
fierce. Our campaign's been broke for months. Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
John, she took the most amazing poop this morning.
Who, Lisa?
It was just so perfectly formed, so healthy and compact. It's like a regular adult poop. It made me so happy.
You freaking idiot!
You two are taking a time out.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go. Oh!
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I want a piece of you.
I want the whole thing. Oh! Oh!
Help me! The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey. Good day. Good day. But I want to be connected. I want to be part of the loop.
It's taken us 8 years to totally disconnect you the way you always wanted to be. So keep this in mind. If I connect you, you will be connected.
Fine. Then connect me.
Fine. Connected you will be.
Good. Hey, Artie?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that we get caught up in a certain kind of thought process?
Thought process?
Yeah, thought process.
What thought process?
Like the thought process we're involved in right now. I think we should try and catch it, put a stop it.
Fine. Stop it, we shall do.
I've had it up this here with the likes of you people!
You are hanging on by 70
And I dig that about you! No contract? I help me! I help you! Help everybody! That's my man! Help me! Help me! Serious! Come on, man! Hey, see, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Bye.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Bye. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike, or you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Thought maybe.
Same guy.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi.
Hold on.
With one true enemy.
Out of order.
Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And his soul torn apart. Yeah. Your discretion advised.
Bob, beware.
Good old friend. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Gentlepersons and all the ships at sea. Back. After their USO trip to entertain the crew, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, a new episode on this Monday.
March 31ers.
Welcome.
Welcome. I thought we'd lose that, but.
Welcome.
It's still there. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
And, here's your phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 1-800-636-1067. In Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
There it is. And we time it out perfectly right here. You got the beginning of the show right now.
There you go. How you like that?
I like that.
Wow. How you like that?
Who is that?
How you
I forgot
like
who
that?
That is. That's old. That's old, but it's
Hocus.
Good.
Hocus Pocus.
Focus.
Hocus Pocus.
Would you
next? You have no idea. I'm Arch Campbell. That's coming up next.
Ooh.
You have no idea how glad I am to be back here. Now keep in mind.
You know what?
What?
For once?
Yeah?
I'm kind of with you. I mean, compared to a lot of them, I'm happy. I'm almost happy to be back.
Now listen, nobody died on this last vacation, right. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much stuff to tell you.
Wow.
That I'm, for a change, we do the opening break here. I'm going to let Mike go first, because I'm afraid that if I start with my, golly,
pages.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 54, 56, 18 different paragraphs that I just want to touch on.
That's 18 things.
Topics.
Of note, 18 things of significance that happened to you.
Wow. Topics, including, well, I don't even want to, just let me say, today will be a good show.
Okay.
Today will be a show you want to hear, the kind of vacation shows that you like hearing. Yes, let me just say this first. Yes, we're at war. We knew we were going to go to war, and we are going to be an alternative to the war. If Big S happens, Buzz has got CNN right there.
We're going to let you know what's going on, because we're tapped into all of that. We know what's going on here.
We've got all the stuff, but unless something really, really major happens.
In the words of Jerry Lewis, the world needs our nonsense now more than it does serious actors.
And I know that God damn it. It's hard for you guys when we go on vacation. I know a lot of people get pissed off because we, you know, unfortunately, excuse us for having earned vacation time for years here in the coal mine that is this radio studio.
Years of service, Don.
But I do, but I, my decades.
Thank you, Rob.
Nearly, right. Nearly decades.
Decades of service. That's right. Absolutely.
For me alone, entering my third decade of service in radio. But I know what a pisser it was the day that war broke out, which incidentally was no friggin' surprise. No. I mean, like since Christmas, everybody knew that Bush was going to lay down the line of the sand on St. Patrick's Day.
I think it was pretty clear to everybody that no matter what, we were going to war.
So, I can't get into the details of where I was. I'll wait to tell you this. However, let me say that I was in a very uncomfortable place on the day that the war broke out. And
do you have a new ring?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I was just, you were like really gesturing with your hand, and I couldn't stop staring at it.
You like it?
What is it?
I don't know.
What is it on?
You go on a cruise ship, and you stop at all those places, and the right. jewelry is extremely cheap. And I bought a nicer pinky ring than I had before.
It's got like a pattern on it or something, yeah, right?
It's onyx.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
sorry.
So anyway, I'm on the, my vacation started, and I'll get to this in a second. The first week was my wife and I on what we thought would be a second honeymoon on a cruise ship. And then the second week, we went to Orlando, straight from the cruise ship to Orlando, where my mother-in-law and my son joined me, and we had the Disney experience, followed by the Universal experience. But anyway, while we were on the ship, and when the phone call, it said you can't use your cell phone,
right?
Because you don't get reception out in the middle of the ocean. And if you want to call America, it's like $11 a minute.
Mm.
So I'm in the room, and I've received, you know, we got an email from Charlie saying they're flipping out here about the war.
Yeah.
So I called and had a conversation with acting general manager Alan Line One.
Mm-hmm.
I also called Mike from the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, I'm turning in those phone calls.
Good.
Those $40 worth of phone calls.
Acting general manager Alan Line One.
So I said to you, I said, where are you? I'm shipboard. I can't talk long. It's costing me $9.80 a minute.
But I called Alan and I said, don't F up the show. Just run the show. He said, well, I think we got to go to all news. And I said, oh, man. And Buzz, it wasn't a slight against you because Buzz is the best news guy I've ever met.
I understand they grabbed you and brought you back in.
They did. I was back from vacation for a day.
I just said, what an effed up mistake this is. And I said, I just want to go on record that this is during the ratings period. Don't do this to us. We got to be the alternative to the war coverage, but they pressed on, and they made Buzz come in. And Buzz, I believe it was, 3 hours into the shift that the light bulb finally went off, Line One's big dumb head, and he figured out he had made a mistake.
We were carrying CNN live, and when CNN started reading its emails because it had nothing else to report, that's when we began to wonder if we'd made the right decision.
We actually approached Alan prior to 5 o'clock and said, you know, this might be an excellent time to say, you know, if anything happens, we're here for you. But until then,
right.
we can entertain you. And he said he was not inclined to do it at that time.
And for me, when I was having my, as it turns out, $11 a minute conversation.
Was it $11?
Yeah. This to me was the defining moment when Alan was telling me how we have to make the commitment as Infinity Broadcasting has to make the commitment. We're at war. I said, Alan, are you still going to run commercials? And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, then run our goddamn show.
Right.
You know, it's not 9/11.
Well, you know,
it's not a surprise.
Right. I certainly understand, Alan, and that's why I argue with you very vehemently that we should come back and participate in the news operation here.
That was the other grand little string that Line One tried to pull. You know, I think America really needs you guys right now.
Oh, my God.
Bull ass. America needs us like... You need another suppository. America doesn't... Well, America might need some suppositories. I don't know. But trust me, the country got along fine for the first 2 weeks of this war without us.
Right.
We are going to try very hard to be your oasis of non-war stuff. Even during the news with Buzz, I happen to know that the news that, that Buzz selects for us will be of a lighter nature.
Yeah.
And whenever the heavy, whenever the heavy SHI happens, well, you're there and you've got the CNN.
I just wanted to say one thing, and I think it's important that I say this and not you, because you know, when before this all went down, you know, everybody that was listening knew where I stood as far as, you know, being somebody who was not for the conflict happening. But I will tell you, I think I'm like a lot of Americans right now, that that I think this is the time to get behind everybody that's over there.
Right.
Regardless of your politics, regardless of the way you feel, this is, you know, it really is America first. And we all have to get together during this time. This is when you get behind the president, this is when you get behind the country, and this is when you go forward. And I believe that. I mean, I really do believe that in my heart. And at this point in time, you know, for some of the things I said, you know, I hope we find this, we find this. I want us to get this thing over with as quickly as possible. I want to see the head of that guy, Saddam Hussein, on a platter so that we can get closure on this type of thing. And
I believe we will.
And I think a lot of people do, you know, even those people that were, you know, not for the war, leading up to this, I think they feel the same way, and I think the statistics bear that out.
Yeah.
So I thought it was important that I say that, because I know that you and I got in a lot of debates before, you know, before the war started, and I think now it's important for me to...
It's a moot point now, because we're at war.
You know, as soon as you see, you know, guys in there that are in the line of fire, you know, I just want this, you know, I mean, as quick as possible,
we're in it
this thing to get over with, and the sooner the better.
So, back to the show, which is what we're going to do.
Right.
And if the war happens, Buzz will break
in. Let you know.
First, let me say what a thrill it was to leave the warm climates of Florida, where the average temperature this time of the year, they were going through a hot streak, was 82 where I was.
88 where I was.
Wonderful to come back yesterday to the unforecasted snowstorm, and congratulations again for the unforecasted snow that we're getting right now.
It's amazing. I looked at the Weather Channel.
Do you believe this?
No. And all I did, I made the mistake of looking at the Weather Channel and looking at the little blurb they have down in the lower left-hand corner where they're showing cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I S you not, at one point yesterday morning, they popped on that the temperature in Washington on Sunday was going to be like 58 degrees. And so I got on the plane. I didn't have any jacket. I got on the plane with a T-shirt, and I'm wearing sandals.
Right.
And I got off, and it was... There were 2 inches of snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday.
It was amazing.
Yesterday was a mess. Today is even more of a mess. You know, I think we're very close to getting the DonandMikeWebsite.com up and running. And I know that I've got some pictures from vacation. I'll tell you about that I'd like to post on the website. But there's something in particular that I would really love to post for you, our audience, to see. And that would be the postcard that most all of us on the show received with a reminder of the wedding date of...
Save the date.
Charles Broyhill and Lisa Herndon.
Save the date.
It is a... I guess it's like a precursor to an actual wedding invitation.
Uh-huh.
It's a little postcard. And in the corner, it's got a picture of Lisa, very beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And Charlie, wearing a tuxedo...
Tie.
All right. Yeah, or a jacket and a tie.
Right, jacket and a tie, which looks like a tuxedo on
it. And I don't know, she's like holding his head in her hands or something. I mean, it's
a nice photograph. It's a candid photograph. It looks like perhaps they were struggling to find a photograph where he was actually smiling.
And for all I know, his pants may have been unzipped while the picture was
something was causing
being taken.
Him to grin gleefully.
All I know is that when
I'd like to know how recent that photograph is.
When I looked at it, I laughed, and I laughed not at Lisa, who looks beautiful in the photo, and not even at, you know, the thing that's making me laugh now is when I look at that and I read to get a room, like, for instance, talking about the reception, if you want to get a room, it's funny to see it in writing, for the Herndon-Broyhill wedding.
Right.
I was just going, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I would go back and forth on the little reminder card. I'd look at the picture of you guys. At him, not you. I just look at that picture and shake my head and laugh. And I turn around and look at the other side and just go, the Herndon-Broyhill marriage.
Yeah.
And I turn back over and look at the picture, laugh a little more.
Right.
And turn around and I just read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Just nobody around, just read out loud.
It's kind of a, you know, Charlie bought a ring, something like that.
Charlie bought a ring and Lisa said, yes, there's going to be a wedding and we hope you'll be our guest.
There it is.
I have it upstairs. You want me to tape it up on the wall?
No, I'll bring mine in.
I'd like to see.
Do you think
that,
since I'm not going to be at this this wedding, and since Rob came up with this brilliant idea, do you? I have to ask you. Do you think it's too egotistical for me to send a videotape?
You know, I liked the idea when Rob brought it up a lot. I'll have to talk to Charlie about it. But
I'd like to be one of the guys at the Oscars who's not able to accept it.
And Rob, you know, it's just, you know, Rob and I get together after we haven't seen each other for a while, and it's kind of like this orgy of brain activity that's going on. And Rob came up with the wonderful idea of me doing it from a hospital bed. Which, you know, and here's the deal. I mean, I don't want to like do anything to that's not going to just be a funny moment, you know, but I also don't want it like to be an egotistical thing. And it probably wouldn't be a hospital bed, it'd be like a total surprise, and it'd be like 15 seconds long. But I mean, I don't want to offend. I just wouldn't want to do it if it was going to be something that wasn't going to, you know. I'd pay for, like, the little TV to be wheeled out, like, right after. Maybe, like, right before you get in the car or something like that, you know.
How about right after they cut the cake? Right after they,
like, right after they just wheel it out and go, hi, I'm really sorry. I can't. And it would be, Rob and I would, like, come up with something very creative to, but
I support that.
But I really don't want to do it if it's going to get in the way of your day, but I'd be more than happy to, like, put something, along with a very nice wedding gift, since I'm not going to be able to be there, you know.
Yeah.
And if Mike is not going to be there,
Kathy, I'm sorry.
I've been asked to ask you, because I know, like, you got to, you know, with the people coming to the wedding, you pay for their food, you pay for their meals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can my kid bring a date, or is it just the three of us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because that was a question.
Yeah, you know why? Because my friends are older than him, your friends are older than him, and then he would be sitting next to mom and dad saying,
And he can use, the date can actually take my place because, of course, I wouldn't have a date.
And,
so it's just like, you know, it would work out, the numbers would work out.
It would have been Mike and Guest, but, right.
It would have been Mike and Kathy.
Would have been Mike and paid escort.
Well,
Mike and whore.
Only the best for that wedding. I would do the $1,000 an hour.
There you go.
I'm not kidding you, I would. I'd pay for the really, really good one, the kind that don't have sex.
And
that means so much to me. The thought is really sweet.
That is nice. And we will go to the hospital and I will tape a message for you with, you know, I want to get all the machines and stuff and IVs and stuff.
All right, get out of here. Let me talk to you during the break about it.
You have an idea, too?
Different idea.
Because really now that's...
Different than hospital.
That's going to be all we're going to say about it, okay?
Okay.
But I don't want... Do you understand where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go through the trouble of doing it if they're not going to do it, you know? I mean...
I'll make sure they play it. Right. And I think she's okay with it.
Okay. All right.
She's okay with it.
It would be something that would just, I think, you know, it'd be fun. It would add to the day.
Speaking of, I have to say that... today is an important day for my family. It was 18 years ago today that my son was born. And happy birthday, Bart.
Happy birthday, Bart.
Happy birthday.
You know how much Mom and I love you? 18 years ago today, we were staying, we just moved back to D.C.
Thank God, today he is a grown-up.
Yeah, we had just moved back to D.C. I was getting ready to do the afternoon show on WAVA. We were still in the hotel. And my wife woke me up and said, I think this is it. And I said, I remember it was 6 o'clock in the morning, a Sunday morning. I said, why do you think so? And she said, well, look. And she had stood up in the bathroom and her water had broken. And it was the only chance that a fella ever gets to really drive 90 miles an hour and pray that a cop pulls you over.
Right.
But it was Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, and there was nobody on the road.
So you had to go real fast, but there was really no danger involved.
None, but it was 18 years ago today, I'll tell you about it. We went out, we celebrated last night, we gave him this stuff today, and
good.
He's 18, and it's hard to think of the fact that he's a man.
What's it feel like to be the parent of an 18-year-old? I mean... That number is always the number. The number is used in so many discussions, you know, when you're 18. Now, when you're 18, you can, you know what I mean? How does it, once you arrive at that point, I'm curious to get your perspective on it.
Well, I've tabled a lot of that. A lot of that has been.
As it gets closer.
A lot of that has, the talk has been for many years, when you're 18, you can do what you want.
Right.
Well, now the talk is...
While you're under my roof?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like every other parent.
When you leave my house, you can do what you want.
That's right.
But until then, you still... As long as you're under my roof, you're going to live by my rules. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'm letting him do is grow his hair.
Right.
And he's got awfully long hair right now.
I used to have a friend of mine that says, all I'm trying to do is keep them alive till they're 18.
And,
that's what he used to say all the time.
And I think the look he's going for, seriously, for the prom, is he wants a super mullet. That's what he wants. He wants it short on the sides and very long on the back.
Not sure I've seen that in his age group.
No.
Is he just going for the total, I'm going to be an oddball fan?
Yeah. And we did see it an awful lot down in Florida. Ah. We did see the mullet look, especially at the NASCAR Cafe.
Huh.
We saw the mullet look an awful lot.
Sure.
But anyway, he's a great young man. Yeah. And couldn't be prouder of him. And
unbelievable.
Sure do love him. And hard to think now that, what is today? April, May, June, July, August. In August, he starts college. In August, he actually starts college, if he doesn't flunk the last semester of high school. He will actually start college.
Wow.
And
you kind of did it.
Yeah, well, no.
As soon as he goes to college, when do you... Well, my mom would tell, my 82-year-old mom would say...
It doesn't end there.
She would say it's forever.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't end there.
I know that I've been responsible in my adult years of giving my my mom and my dad, when he was alive, just as much aggravation as when I was a kid.
Sure. I imagine, though, with Bart, that pretty much the phone calls that we are going to get are just going to be the I need money calls.
Absolutely.
Much like, I'll tell you.
You have email now, too, so you probably won't even get those.
Yeah, well, but even the email, when we were on the cruise ship, we would email them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and the email, the header would be, please write us back.
Right.
And he just...
What I'm saying is...
He never wrote back.
When he goes to college, you won't be getting any phone calls from him, because he will probably email you.
No, he doesn't even email now, though.
So you will be getting no kind of...
Nothing. Not unless it's, I need money.
I just think you've given him enough freedom where he's not going to be like some of the kids. When I went my freshman year, there were always the kids that came from many of them came from the Catholic upbringing, where the very strict Catholic household with 10 kids in it. And, I think of this one kid who was just went bat ass as soon as he got to college. He ended up, they had a horticulture program and this kid late at night, I don't know how he made it, but he walked over to the center of the greenhouse. That's who it was. Walked over the center of the greenhouse. He was in the middle of the greenhouse, and then he took a step to the right and went right through the greenhouse.
Yeah.
They sent him home. We never saw him again.
Ouch. So anyway, happy birthday, Bart.
Happy birthday, Bart.
He's finally 18. And listen, here's the... I was going to say one weird thing, that there had been this ongoing game of chicken in our house that Bart had been saying to me, Dad, I really want to come down on the show on my birthday, and I want to have the girls.
Yes.
And I said, no effing way. I said, no, you're my son. You're not going to come down and get that treatment. And then yesterday, Frida starts playing this game of chicken with him too, where she says, I think Dad might be wrong on this, that I think it might be okay if you went down and Dad had some naked girls and they did some not X-rated stuff, but maybe PG-rated stuff. But then here was Frida's caveat. She said, why don't we just ask your girlfriend tonight? Because we went out to dinner with his girlfriend last
night.
Why don't we ask your girlfriend what she thinks about it?
Right.
So this is where last night it all almost exploded back in Frida's face, because we were sitting at dinner and
she said, it's cool.
The moment came up and she said, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
She said, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And then
young.
Then I see the look go from Bart's girlfriend to Bart to Frida, and then I get the panic look from Frida. And it's like we're playing, we're playing Pong. We're going boing, boing, boing.
Right.
And finally gets around back around to me, and I said, well, I said no all along. And then boing, back to Frida. She said, well, I got to agree with what Dad said. Then boing, back to Bart. And Bart said, but you said it depends on what my girlfriend said. Then boing, back to girlfriend. She said, I don't have a problem with it. Boing, back to Bart. Well, come on now. You guys aren't being fair to me. Boing, back to Frida. Listen, I was never really serious about it. Boing, back to me. I don't want you to do it. So
stop torturing the lad.
So anyway, happy birthday, Bart.
Happy birthday.
Let's take a couple of phone calls, and then I believe the rest of the show will just be everything that happened while we were gone. Because we got a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to call and thank you for my necklace.
Your necklace?
Oh. That was Zora.
Oh, you're the guy who won the Joe Millionaire contest.
Yeah, you've been gone. You guys have been gone, so I wasn't able to call in. Thank you. I just wanted to call in and, you know, say I really appreciate it, and you know, help me out. And
what's he talking about? Mike, this is the guy. Remember we did the Joe Millionaire contest?
No.
This is the guy who was Zora. I think you're calling from Philly.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And he won the
$2,000. Right now, okay.
$2,000 necklace from Fox TV.
I'm still.
Right. I think didn't have an emerald one in it, but.
Still on holiday.
Well, listen, glad you got it. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
And we should, when we were gone, we got ratings, too. We got, I know I saw the numbers for WJFK for D.C., the numbers were way up again. Thank you again. And I only know this through other people in the company.
Right.
That our trend in Philadelphia was great as well.
Ah, very good. Thank you, Philadelphia.
Thank you, both of those cities.
I'm sorry I forgot that. I mean, that'll speak to the whole thing that I think is happening to me, and I'm really freaked out.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, I wanted to thank
you. Memory hearing.
Hello.
I wanted to thank you.
Why?
For the past 2 weeks, you've been a four-hour salvation every day. No war.
Yeah, and it's going to continue that way, my friend, unless you know, the big S happens.
Right.
But also, it's a lot of fun to listen to your history, and because I'm from Philly, so really didn't know a lot about it. But interesting that it's Bart's 18th birthday. They just had the thing where you were talking about getting lucky at age 13.
Yeah.
And Bart being in the background yelling about, oh, I'm going to get lucky too, now that he was 13.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of tapes of him on the show. Do we have that tape of him screaming when he was being the weatherman?
You know,
it's the all-time great. Yeah.
We never had it since we've been here.
Mm. I got it somewhere. There was one time.
I was like, yeah. Right, remember that one?
Yeah, where he was like 2 years old and just out of his mind that he wanted to
speak. What triggered it? I forgot what it was. Did he want to be the weatherman or something?
He wanted to talk on the radio, and Frida said no.
He couldn't. That's right.
And then he started screaming right. With the Damien stuff.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, it was... great. Hard to believe. I know for you guys it's hard to be harder for us to believe he's 18.
Is that on the Morning Zoo family album?
It is.
Then
yeah.
We do have it.
Yeah.
We have it upstairs.
Hello, Don and Mike. Well, maybe you could grab it, Robbie. Sure. I'd like to play it today. It's kind of a tribute to my son. Hello?
Yeah, I'm curious what your Spokane ratings are like since you haven't been on live in 4 weeks.
I have no idea. Spokane is a smaller market. The ratings come out much later. Why? I know we were on vacation for 2 weeks, but what about before that?
They preempted you for, I kid you not, high school basketball that was 300 miles away with girls.
That's
important for your show here in Spokane. And then next week they preempted you for high school basketball for teams that were from 300 miles away that were actually here in town. So, you know,
Whatever, my friend.
Whatever.
Four weeks, but you're back and we're happy. Hey. Can you just say the date for us so we'll believe that it's really you?
Yes.
Today is May 7th.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Bye-bye. See you later. Hello there. Don and Mike.
You know, there are going to be people now that are going to be confused by that. I'm sorry. No, today is January 4th.
April 17th. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Don and Mike. Hello.
Just started listening to you guys out of Baltimore while you guys were on vacation.
Let me just say,
happy May Day, sir.
Merry Christmas. And happy Hanukkah. And don't let me forget Kwanzaa.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was getting confused when you went through the whole Yom Kippur thing. And I'm like,
and as a tribute to Bill Murray, as we always do on this holiday, because there's really nothing else to discuss, we always go, it's Groundhog Day!
Anyway.
I wanted to find out what happened to that guy that he had a bit where he was calling from the lunchroom and he was somebody
where they were serving green beer.
No, where they were stalking. He was stalking some girl, or he was harassing somebody at his workplace. And
I don't know. Are you talking about something that was on the Best Of?
Yes.
Then I have no idea. We never do any follow up on that.
Oh, really?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you later.
Really? Really now?
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hello,
hi.
Lisa.
Turn your radio down.
Yes. This is Lisa.
Hey, Rob.
No, this is Lisa.
Right, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm well. God, I'm glad you're back.
Man, are my panties moist today. It's hot in here today. Christ.
Absolutely. Well, what do you expect for mid-August?
Can't believe how beautiful it is to hear them again.
Yeah, it's great to hear them. Boy, if only they knew that I'm really pregnant, that's why I'm marrying Charlie. All right, goodbye. Get out, you dummy. You don't even know. Mike, we have now the card. Buzz, didn't you not receive one of these in the mail?
I did not, actually.
Seriously, the card that has the photo of Charlie looking longingly into the gaze of Lisa, who's showing, incidentally, some nice collage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Levi.
And that photograph could be anything. There could be anything going on down south of the border.
If Buzz didn't get a card, Buzz, can you babysit that day?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Charlie bought the ring, and Lisa said, yes, there's going to be a wedding, and we hope you'll be our guest. Please save the date. And then this was the part that just made me laugh. It says that where the reception's going to be. Mm-hmm. Ask for special Herndon Broyhill wedding rates. That's too funny.
Hey, that save the date thing's cool, though. I mean, especially since you guys are having this quick turnaround. That's the precursor to the actual invitation, and that makes sure you get those out right away. Is that like a new thing that people do?
Yeah, it's a new thing that started. People that are having really fast weddings, a year out, they'll send that
out. Or 3 months.
Yeah, you know, something like
you know what I don't understand, though, is how come you couldn't, like, find a little icon, like, on the computer of a shotgun. That's just a joke.
Well, because my mom was opposed to it.
Okay.
Let me mention here, we're going to break so we can get all the junk in today. A very busy week this week on the show, besides all of this stuff. Wednesday, we're having... You want to talk about the stuff that's as far away from the war as you can possibly get. Wednesday, we're having a live sex toy party on the air.
A sex toy party?
Yeah, girls are bringing in their sex toys to have a party.
Fantastic.
And we'll be giving away a love swing. The same swing used, I believe, what is it you and Marcia used?
The Taiwan basket.
We're giving away one of those jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
And attention.
Haven't you had yours re-varnished?
Had to have it restrapped.
It's been an awful goddamn long time since we've done a remote broadcast, but both Friday and Monday we'll broadcast live from New Orleans.
Yes, for the Final Four.
Cool. So we're looking forward to that. Great to be back. Just in case you've tuned in, let me say, as we head into this long Labor Day weekend, to drive 55.
Yeah, because, you know, people just go crazy because it's the last weekend of the summer.
Save the lives. Let's clear the lines out right now.
Amen.
We got a secret sound. Oh, a brand new secret sound. Secret sound. Uno, dos, tres. Number three. Secret sound number three.
You can say Tracy, you know, because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Because it's worth $1,000. We're not going to give you any hints.
You want to give him a free spin?
Sure.
It's really good. This doesn't sound like any of the others.
All right, well, you got to load it up.
Let's just get everything done so I can go trick-or-treating tonight.
I know. Here it is. Here's the new sound. There it is.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, Mike. Don't be this way.
I'm sorry.
It's almost Easter.
I know. You're right about that.
That's the new secret sound, yeah.
That one's kind of... That was a bad one.
All right, call 100. All right. Excuse me. It's almost Valentine's Day.
That's the one.
That was just a month ago.
I understand. I understand.
Anyway, here's the sound. And call 100. And when we come back, remind me, before we get to the vacation stuff, we've got to tell you about Jeremy Coleman sneaking into the radio station while we were on vacation to clear out his belongings.
There you go.
Call 100 right now. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Frederick Maryland wants to know why you and the Orioles don't go out and get some more team speed.
Team speed, for Christ's sake, and get f***ing goddamn little fleas on the f***ing bases, getting picked off, trying to steal, getting thrown out, taking runs away from you. Get them big suckers that can hit the f***ing ball out of the ballpark and you can't make any goddamn mistakes.
Well, Terry Elliott of Washington, D.C., wants to know why you don't use Terry Crowley as a designated hitter all the time.
Well, Terry Crowley's lucky he's in f***ing baseball, for Christ's sake. He was released by the Cincinnati Reds. He was released by the f***ing goddamn Atlanta Braves. We saw that Terry Crowley could sit on his ass for 8 innings and enjoy watching a baseball game just like any other fan and has the ability to get up there and break one open in the f***ing ninth. So if this sucker's mind his own business and let me manage the team, would be a lot better off.
Well, certainly you've made your opinions known on the fans' questions about baseball, Earl, but let's get to something else. Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in a tomato plant.
Alice Sweet ought to be worried about where to her next lady's coming from, rather than where her next goddamn tomato plant's coming from. If she get her ass out of the f***ing bars at night and go hustling around the goddamn street, she might get a fucking her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it from Manager's Corner. Go f*** yourself and the f*** with your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball f***ing Network.
The Don and Mike Show. It sure beats a pickaxe in the gonad. The Don and Mike Show.
Had to do that for opening day.
Oh, yeah. Wait. We'll play some more of our baseball today. This is the Earl of Baltimore, ladies and gentlemen.
Today's show, call 100. Right now. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Dave.
Hi, Dave. Where are you from?
I'm from West AZ, New York.
All right, my friend. Hold on a second. I got to figure out. I got prizes for each city. There you go. This will do for where you live. The NYPD Blue Season 1 Divot Box Set.
Oh, great.
Featuring all 22 episodes from the first season, available now to own on a collectible six-disc set. Own Nipid Blue Season 1 on Divot today.
Collectible six-disc set?
I said it correctly.
That's tough.
Yeah. Now, $1,000. Are you ready for the common everyday sound?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Just give me a hint. It's not a stapler. It's not a briefcase opening or closing.
Don't have anything like that in my guess.
All right, good luck. We'll play you the sound now. You're the virginal caller. Don't worry about your guess. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
A Tribe Called Quest.
And we will shoot Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
And that was just for you, because I know, Mike, you love it when it's a clicking sound.
My favorite. It's my favorite secret sound, a clicking sound.
The last one really wasn't a clicking sound, so there it is again for you.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
For $1,000, what's the sound?
My guess has got to be around with Lisa and her marriage, the cocking of a 12-gauge shotgun.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, we're sorry.
That's a great guess.
That's a good guess, though. Thank you.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Thank you. Don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
For you, I just want to mention that here in D.C., it's sunny.
It's sunny now.
And at the same time, it's snowing.
Boom.
And it's very windy, mm-hmm. And the snow appears to be blizzard-like. I know
it's a weatherman's dream scenario.
I know it's not blizzard-like.
And it's cold yet warm in the shade.
That's what it appears to be. So before we get to the weekend stuff, the vacation stuff, last week, one day I was on the phone with Rob. I was having a Disney day. And I called Rob when I had my final Disney meltdown, which I'll tell you about later. And he said, I have something that will cheer you up.
Oh.
And I said, impossible. Because as I'll tell you later, I lost it in Disney World. I really lost it. He said, guess who is here today? And you know, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know who. The gerbil. Jeremy Coleman. Of course, who has been fired with the whole Sex for Sam debacle. So the guy waits until we're not here to come in and clear out his office so that we wouldn't talk about it,
sure.
I guess.
Sure, right.
Not realizing that...
We have spies.
And Rob, who is never rude in real life, you find this very surprising. In real life, really, he's never rude to anybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he told me that he was over-the-top rude to Jeremy twice.
And really?
And he loved it.
It felt so good.
So tell us what happened, Robbie.
I came in, and you know how Jeremy used to park on the incline of the parking lot?
Right.
And I saw a BMW parked in that spot. I said, God, that's weird.
The illegal spot?
Yeah, I said, but it couldn't be. Couldn't be.
Right.
And I just came in, and I was doing something, and I heard that voice. And I came in, and there he was, and he said, well, well, Mr. Rabe, how are you? And my reply was,
Rob, you just...
Hey, we're broadcasting here.
Rob just dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah,
and you really didn't mean to.
No,
so repeat it again with the family version.
I said, yeah, I thought I saw someone in that effed up parking spot, and then I turned and walked away. Sorry about that, folks.
You're a funny man. That's the first time you ever, I think, not intentionally have dropped the F bomb.
Wow. So you feel passion when it comes to Mr. Coleman.
Yeah, and I found out the reason. Oh, and he tried to drum up conversation again later, and I believe my reply was,
and just walked off, which just, it felt so good. I found out the main thing he came by to pick up. Do you remember his office door that had all that stuff taped on it?
Right. Pictures and stuff.
1,000 pictures of Sam Huff and all that junk.
Right.
That was the main thing he came to pick up.
Really? Well, what about his conscience? Did he leave that behind?
His soul.
What about his dignity?
Soul? Did he leave his soul?
He did.
His dignity.
I didn't see any dignity, but I did see his soul, and it was blacker than 1,000 midnights.
What was his total time here?
It was a decent amount of time. I would say he was here for a good half hour.
Oh, so funny when they slink in when we're not here.
Because you and I weren't here.
That is amazing. And you both of them slinking in when we're not here.
And he was every bit as cheerful as when Ken stopped by. I'm lucky enough to see them both when they came.
Right. Okay.
Now, you know, and like I said to Rob, and like I said to you guys, with the night that Ken snuck in to clean out his stuff, what else are they going to do? That's what I would do if I was in it, if I had been involved in, you know, the biggest radio F-up in the last 20 years, and, you know, you were the guy and the management guy, but you got fired because of it. Well, of course, you'd come in the station when, you know, the disc jockeys who love to make fun of you to begin with are not there.
Sure.
And if you happen to see anybody, you would put up that phony,
hi!
Hey,
ho-ho!
Things are great.
Everything's wonderful. How are you?
Things are great.
And he probably didn't expect Rob, the, you know, nicest guy around here, to have that kind of a reaction.
To blow him off.
Right, exactly.
To blow him
good
off.
Good for you, Rob.
And as I recall, didn't we leave Jeremy a nice long message one day on his answering machine?
Yeah, real long.
And, you know, really, when we talk about these guys now, it's enough time has passed where we have to give a little update. The reason we react this negatively is because these, you're talking about two individuals that really were just about as anti-Don and Mike career as two guys could be. And we still feel the sting of that. We really do.
Of course. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. We revel in the fact that they are both now jobless.
Because they were keeping us down, man.
They
were keeping us down.
We laugh at the fact that we're here and they're not.
Because it could have been different.
Oh, yeah. Sure could have.
Could have been a lot different.
Sure could have. I guarantee if they were here, we right now would be negotiating with the other guys.
Yeah, you know, it'd probably already be done. That would probably already be over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Hey, see if Lisa's got that bar tape ready.
Oh, I got it.
You got it?
Good. Yeah,
let me get him on the telephone, and then we'll get right to all of the vacation stuff.
It's
all right.
So hard to believe. I still look at the picture of you and Frida at our house in Chicago, and Frida was pregnant with Bart at the time. 18 years has gone by. I can't believe that.
Hard to believe. But even with all of the a-hole teenage behavior that we've gotten.
Hello.
Hey, hi, baby.
Hi, CP.
Is the man there?
Yes, hold on.
Let me say hello to him. I'm sure we'll get the hello. You know what's so odd is that he's like any other teenager. That around us, he's a real dick. But it's funny to see when we drove to his girlfriend's house last night to pick her up for dinner. Funny to see when he goes up to the door,
right?
And I guess it was either her mom or dad that answered the door.
Yellow.
Hi. That immediately the sunglasses come off and he smiles and is like, "Hey, how are you? Very nice to see you." He's doing his best Eddie Haskell.
There you go. Yeah, I guess that's what we all have done.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what he can do. So here he is right now. He's a man today.
Today you are 18.
Barty, how does it feel to be 18?
It feels about the same.
Feels about the same. Doesn't feel different at all?
No.
Not at all. I tell you, I just want to tell you that I thought that this was the day that I would begin my paid vacation. Because, I mean, for years and years, you were going to be occupying this seat on your 18th birthday.
Oh, it's still coming.
There you go. That's good. I like that. Let me know.
Well, Bud, listen, we're going to take a brief trip down memory lane, okay?
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on. You're going to like this.
Okay.
We found one of those very old tapes that we had.
Oh, awesome.
All right. You got it queued up, Robbie? And what is it?
We sound, I'd like to warn our audience that Don and I sound a little zoo-like.
Yeah, and do not adjust your sets. There is some echo on the tape.
And there's, you know what? I think these tapes were always pitched fast.
Yes, they are.
Right,
so we kind of sound like that. Hey, how you doing? Okay. Reel number one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here you go, Barty.
How's that like?
For your birthday, let's listen to Bart when I think he was maybe 2 years old.
What's going on? Bart won't leave to go to the grocery store with Mommy until he talks to Daddy on the radio.
Well, you can understand that. Music Power 105, hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, you're on the radio now.
But I want a pizza to come through.
Oh, you want a be at the radio station?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. You got to go to the grocery store with Mommy. What? Bart?
I think he wanted to come to the radio as opposed to...
Oh, jeez.
Do you think, would a high Bart get him out of this?
No.
No. No.
Hey, Bart? Bart? Bart, Daddy will see you when I get home today, okay?
Sounds like a cat.
Hey, watch it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Bart? Bart? Bart, Daddy's going to hang up if you're not a big boy. Bart?
Sorry, Daddy. We'll work out this problem and talk to you later.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. I'm being attacked. Okay, wait.
Bart. Bart, hey, you. Bart, don't you scream at Mommy.
Sounds like a little trouble over there today.
Wow. Oh, man. That last one. That very last one. Wow.
What do you think now, now that you're 18?
I haven't progressed at all.
Oh, my God.
That last scream was the best.
That day, I remember that day.
That last scream was absolutely
You were, you know, you wanted to be, he wanted to come down to the radio station.
Hey, don't we have one outside on the outside door where he's Bart the Weatherman?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you enjoying this, Bart?
Immensely.
No, come on. This will be, you know, this is a tumultuous day for you. It's an important day.
Sure.
It's a historical day. Here's another moment with Bart when he was much younger on this show.
Hi, big guy. How are you?
Fine.
Okay. You got the weather?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Today is going to be sunny, and high not going to be 54, and the road's not going to be 45.
Bart.
And tomorrow is going to be sunny. I mean, today is going to be sunny, and tomorrow is going to be sunny. And it's going to be windy, so hold on to your hat, and it's going to be 52,
yeah.
Now it's 42, but the weatherman WACK.
Yeah!
Boy, I think you're talking all goofy again today.
I don't know.
No.
He's just being goofy.
All right, goofy boy. So what are you going to do today? Bart?
Yeah?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? What are you going to do today?
We don't know. We might shop.
Might shop.
Oh,
shop.
That would be a change.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, Pay? Well, we saw these little itsy-bitsy radios there.
Oh, at a store you and Mommy went to yesterday?
A Pace.
Pace, yeah. Well, I was shopping yesterday.
Yeah, Mommy does a lot of shopping, huh?
Yeah. Okay, we got to go. We gotta go, big guy.
Okay.
Okay.
I can talk to Mom.
Well, I already had the pleasure.
Bye, Dad.
Okay, I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, tell Mama that I... Tell Mommy I love her.
What?
Tell Mommy that I love her.
Daddy loves you.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. Frida's response, in case you didn't hear, was,
And the phone hanging up. So, there you go.
Bart?
Yes?
There you are.
Do you have any words of wisdom on your 18th birthday?
Any closing thoughts?
None.
Because I think that, I'm guessing once you get to college, your appearances on the show will be over, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
He's eager.
Sorry, I sounded too enthusiastic.
What? Pardon
me? No.
Yeah. Okay, now, and you know, for the last, 5 years or whatever, I've only... put you on the radio when you've wanted to be on, when you've wanted to call into Bus Balls or to get in on some gag.
Right.
And, the invitation will be open when you're in college.
How do you feel on your 18th birthday, Bart?
As I said, I feel the same.
There's no appreciable change in your outlook, mood, demeanor?
It's a good day. It's my birthday.
It's a good day. It's a happy day.
But I'm sorry to disappoint.
I'm not disappointed.
Come on. You could be a little
happy. Rob said that. Rob said he's disappointed.
I'm sorry, Rob.
You could be a little happy, Barty.
I said it's a good day.
Yeah. The turning point.
Do you have anything special planned for your 18th?
I might go out to dinner tonight. I don't know.
What about last night? Oh, we had a nice time.
We went out to dinner last night, but Buzz asked me if I was doing anything tonight.
Yeah, we're going drinking.
No, Uncle Mike asked you if you could do anything tonight. Yeah,
no.
We went out as a family last night.
In 18 years you've been on the show. You recognize my voice yet?
To celebrate. No. But here's another interesting factoid. Last night the argument was that he didn't want to ride in a car with Frieda and I. He wanted to drive himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to force him to get in the car with us. Say, no, it's your 18th birthday. We're going out to dinner as a family.
And it's the eve of his 18th, so it's kind of like is tonight his night to...
Yeah, tonight he's going to go out. Who are you going out with, Kyle, or are you going out with your girlfriend, or who?
My girlfriend, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, there he is. As you heard, he was a precocious young lad.
What's that?
Did you just laugh?
I did laugh, yes. You are making me laugh, Bart.
He was a precocious young lad, but he has turned into a giant a-hole teenager. But I still love him with my
whole
heart.
He's a good boy.
And he is. And I couldn't be prouder of you.
Yeah, I love you too.
All right, I'll see you later.
Dad, I apologize. I haven't been listening. Did you talk about, by any chance, the Mickey Cup?
No, I've not even started my part of the vacation. But if you would like to...
No, I'll let you.
No, if you'd like to, go ahead and take this opportunity.
No, really, I'll go. I'm watching a movie.
Oh, I do.
What movie are you watching?
It's an interview with Kevin Smith.
I was part of his birthday present. Was he loves Kevin Smith. He got a DVD of Kevin Smith, you know, is from Jay and Silent Bob. He's Silent Bob.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He never talks.
Right, right.
And it's odd to have a DVD where he actually sits down and speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're enjoying that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Love you.
Love you too.
And don't forget, when you get to college, you keep those grades up. And you know why you keep those grades up? Because as long as you keep those grades up, you will not be drafted.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And on that very pleasant note, I'll go.
Happy birthday.
There he goes.
Thank you.
Hey, put Mom on, would you please?
Okay, love you, Dad.
Love you, too.
Here's one.
Happy birthday, Bart.
Jesus. He's a typical, you know.
He does that when he's on the air. That's what he does. It's his thing that he does when he's on the air.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that at home, does he?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
I miss the little boy.
Yeah, Mike was just saying to me...
Let me offer my congratulations to you too, Frieda.
Yeah, right.
Job well done, both of you.
Mike, light at the end of the tunnel.
Mike was just saying to me, he's not like that at home, is he? And I said, oh, yeah. And Mike, you know, at worse.
Really?
We get it worse at home.
Well, I mean, that's probably normal, you know.
The little boy was so cute, though, but, you know, I wouldn't start all over again if for all the money in the world.
Nope, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, baby, well, you know, it's a proud day for us. You and I did it.
I know.
You know, we beat the odds again.
Don't jinx us. We still, you know, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but we still got, you know, we got a little bit more ways to go.
I know, but listen, the odds were stacked against us from the day we got married.
I know.
And not to mention the fact that now we've had a kid,
right,
who at least we can say on his 18th birthday
is pretty normal.
It's normal.
Yeah, that's
now from this point on, he might wig out.
Yeah.
But as of right now.
Yeah, that's if
right.
He wigs out now, he's his own man.
That's right. Yeah.
You can distance yourself from
that's
him.
That's right.
Job done.
Yeah, nobody blames Mr. and Mrs. Kaczynski.
You don't hear about them.
No, nobody says a bad thing about them.
Right.
No, Mr. and Mrs. Dahmer or
no. You don't hear anything about them.
No.
Hey, yeah, I think...
Casey.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we kept him out of trouble for 18 years. I think our job is done.
Amen. A friggin' man. All right, baby. I love you.
Love you too, boo-boo.
All right. I'll see you later.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. So it's a big day for us.
Yeah.
And
congratulations.
Yeah, we got up and we were excited about his birthday, and we got from him the normal, you know, he woke up,
came. Well, really, what is, you know, at 18, it's not like, you know, I mean, I know. When I turned 18 in Connecticut, it was a real big day.
Oh, well, because you could go out and pound, right?
It was huge.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they don't have that, you know? I mean, and you know...
Golden Boy is looking to show he's still the best.
I always remember that, and you know, now it's, you know, it's not that it's that important to the youth of America, but, oh, come on.
Although he's...
It is.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the air or not, that he said to me a couple of days ago, he was saying, before we went on vacation, he said... Will you take me to a strip club?
now that I'm 18. And I said, no. But I said, first off, it's weird. You don't go with your dad to a strip club. And I said, and second, you got to be 21. And he said, oh, no, you don't. You get your hands stamped.
Yeah, you said that before the vacation.
And you get your hands stamped at a bunch of the strip clubs in D.C. Mm-hmm. that indicates you're old enough to be there but not old enough to drink.
Yeah, I guess it would be pretty oogie. I've heard of, like, older, you know, fathers and sons, you know, when the guys are older, you know, they go out, like, on a bachelor party or something.
I don't
like
know.
That. But, I mean,
anyway, happy birthday to Bart, and thanks for letting me.
That's what he wanted.
Second.
That's what he wanted you to do. Do you think think the demeanor would have changed if you had said yes? No.
No, absolutely not. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, I'd like to welcome back my oasis of non-war stuff.
Right.
But you know who had a longer vacation than you?
Oh, do we have to go through this? Do we really? And I know you're going to say David Letterman, but do we really have to go through this with our long vacation?
No, I simply meant it as a way of talking about how long Letterman's been away.
How long?
Not about you guys.
Is Letterman back yet?
Tonight
he's back.
Tonight. I'll tune in to see how goofy he looks.
Tonight.
See if he's like got one eye or an eye patch or something like that.
I did manage to. All right, thank you, my friend.
Bye.
See you later. I TiVo'd a bunch of them, and Vince Vaughn, before we went on vacation, was very good.
Paul Vaughn was a natural.
Paul Schaefer was good. Mm-hmm. Bill Cosby was
old.
Different. Yeah, mm-hmm. old. But also would just hold up cue cards, would say nothing. Like, when he would bring out a guest, he would just hold up the cue card.
That's funny.
And when he would be interviewing somebody,
right.
a guy would just come over and give him the card, and that would be the end of the interview. He would just hold up the card.
That's funny.
So I saw him as an interesting guest.
That's
host.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
The Wilson brother, who doesn't have the bad nose, the one from
Luke
school.
Luke Wilson.
Oh, wait, which I get mixed up. Yeah, Luke.
Yeah. Luke is the,
P.U.
I mean, I don't know what deal he signed with the devil.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Are you in the bathroom?
Hey, sorry, you cut out for a second.
Are you in the bathroom?
No, it just kind of sounds like it.
Okay.
Not as far as you know, anyways. Hey, one of the best moments with Bart?
Yeah.
Was, you played it on the best of last week when you were talking about mistakes you made as you grew up.
Yeah.
And the first time you had sex is when you were 13.
That was somebody brought that up before.
All right. Thank you for repeating something.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're keeping score at home, that's going to be the first call that's kind of indicated that we're back.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
What did you call, Rob?
I called 410 for the first bad call.
410.
410 for the first bad call.
Pretty amazing.
He wins.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I wanted to let Mike go off on his own when he's going with Rob. Hey, Bart can officially now get porn.
Well, great. Like, he doesn't have it already.
Yeah, but now it's legal. The porn police won't come raid your house now.
Legally the good stuff now.
Do you know that when we came back from Florida, we were looking for the remote control, and my wife lifted up one of the cushions from a seat in our family room? There was some porn. There was some rather fresh pornography that,
like, pretty heavy duty stuff.
I think a notch above Playboy, but
right.
a notch below Hustler.
Okay.
Penthouse Variety.
Penthouse Variety, right?
Same hiding place as last time.
Yep.
Wow.
Same hiding place.
He thought that you thought that he thought.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello. You think that's what he? You think it was that, or do you think he just didn't think to hide it?
I don't know.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to have Bart on the radio, man. You just can't cut your family off like that.
Well, listen, I'm not going to cut my family off.
I agree with that. What is wrong with ye?
I don't mean it like that. I mean, I enjoy listening to you.
But he has a life, and now listen, from the time he was about 13, really, actually before that, even when he got to be old enough to know what was going on.
What number do you root for? What number do you root for?
Number one, what do you mean, NASCAR?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Number eight,
Dale Jr. I knew you was a Dale Jr. man.
It's always his choice to be on the radio. It's always,
all right.
It's
well,
always his choice.
I really enjoy that, and I'm glad you had a good vacation.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike.
I sworn to be the number eight car.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike, welcome back.
Thanks.
Well, I don't want this to be a bust balls call, but I got to ask the question. Was there a reason that you didn't really announce you were going to be gone for 2 weeks before you left?
Now, let me just get into this very briefly.
We did announce on the Friday before we were going on vacation that we were going to be gone. If we come on and we say, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks, we got pricks like you calling us up going, but you just went on vacation. Well, you know what? F you. We're tired of doing it. We're tired of...
But if you must pull back the curtain, I'm going to tell you right now, the new contract that we have provides us with 33 weeks of vacation.
Wow.
And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Every time we get a vacation, we're going to be gone 2 weeks.
And whenever we talk to you, it's going to sound like Darth Vader.
All right.
There you go. Now I turned the phone down. So, listen, and besides, what do you care? What do you care? Really? I mean, I don't know what you do for a living, but if you had been at the same job as I am for 30 years, and Mike and I have been working together 18 years, and you delivered really great productivity, and you were able to earn a lot of vacation, are you telling me you turn it down?
No, it's not the amount of vacation at all. That's not the issue.
I didn't announce to you like you're some member of my family?
I know. F me and my family too, and you couldn't care less. The point is, you have busted balls on other DJs that have never announced when they were going to return. That's all.
No, I don't know.
Negative. We've busted balls on disc jockeys who go away, and when they go away, they make no reference to the fact that you're listening to a rerun. I know when we were gone, every other break,
right,
the bumper said, you're listening to the best of Don and Mike. And we weren't hiding the fact.
Answer that, smart man.
That we were on vacation.
Answer that, smarty pants.
No, thank you.
Why?
Well... But that's the point. We have not busted balls about that.
Well, I thought you had.
Well, you're just a pain in the ass.
And frankly, we're not going to get on like 2 days or 3 days before we go on vacation to hold your goddamn hand to say, okay, we're leaving now and we'll be back on Monday, March 31st. Listen, don't worry about it.
You've done it before, and that's okay. That's fine. Take as much vacation as you want.
I will.
Enjoy.
I will. I've earned it, asswipe.
Absolutely.
I've earned it.
Absolutely, 100%.
And we'll be here now for 3 more months, but then I got news for you. We'll be off for 2 more weeks.
3 more months?
A little less than 3 months. But then we'll be off for 2 weeks again.
All right.
All right.
Now, what else do you have to contribute?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, what was the purpose of this?
Just to...
No.
Because
I really want an answer, God damn it.
Because this went against your other MO. Before, when you've gone on vacation, you have actually told
everybody you know what? And we frankly got tired of taking calls from people like you.
But it's so nice to know that you even managed to call just for no other reason than the bus balls.
But the reason that we made it brief on the last show before we left, and we didn't hide the fact we were going on vacation, and we don't hide it when we're on vacation, but frankly, I don't need a dick like you calling me up saying, you're just off for 2 weeks, and you were off for President's Day, and you were off for Martin Luther King Day.
No, but that's not my issue, but that's okay.
No, what is your issue, then?
No, I don't care how long you're gone. It was just the fact that you didn't actually say that.
If you don't, let me ask you a question. If you don't care, then why would you care whether we mentioned it?
Because it's something that you had done in the past.
Why would that matter to you? Why would that matter?
So I guess,
why? Why would that matter to you?
And we have not always done it in the past. We have
not. The point I'm getting and why I say why 15 times is because it does matter to you.
I guess just from a curious
and I want to know what.
View,
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
And incidentally, and I do remember things, we have not always said we are leaving on this date and we'll be back on this date. Right. I know we haven't.
Well, okay. 80%, 90% of the time, fine.
Why don't you help us? Seriously, why don't you help us? You like the show, right?
I love your show.
Show's important to you.
So you're calling just to say, why didn't we announce? Why?
Well, what does that do?
What would that have done for you 2 weeks ago if we would have said we were going to be gone until today? Well, how would that have changed your life?
I mean, you know, because...
I guess it's one of those inquiring minds want to know type things. That's
I don't know why that for a second.
You're an asswipe.
If he's honest, he's like, you know, he wants to bust balls. We'll just be honest about it.
Don and Mike, hello.
But if you want to be totally honest about this, when you guys came back from Christmas vacation, you complained that you weren't going to get another vacation until summer.
negative. If you go back and listen, I said our next long vacation will be 4th of July, but we do get Memorial, or whatever this last...
St. Patrick's Day off.
I did say that.
I didn't know St. Patrick's Day was 2 weeks.
Listen, when you've worked in a job for many years...
You are giving this man what he wants. We shouldn't do this.
You earn vacation time. If you don't like it, then kiss my ass, change the station, goodbye.
He hangs up. There you go.
Thanks, douche. thanks, douche, who gets like maybe 2 days a week off.
I think
that'll be a 5-day work week. It's like what everybody gets.
I think we can solve this. Before your next vacation, what you need to send out is a save the date card. It'll be a picture of you and Mike, maybe arm in arm, and we'll just tell people, you know, this is what's coming up. It'll avoid them.
It'll be nice.
Listen, on one hand, I get mad at those people. They're very rabid listeners of this program, and I appreciate it. But it was calculated that we were not going to come on before we went on vacation to announce, hey, guess what? We're leaving for 2 weeks.
We have to be honest. Since this is out in the open, we have to be honest with our listening audience. The reason we didn't make a big deal of it, because of guys like that. There are a very small number of guys like that that call. And you know what? People like live programming. That's great. But I think that our best of programming, unlike a lot of other shows in this country, stands up as some of the best that you will ever hear.
Yep.
The way it's produced, the way it's selected by Don, and the way it's laid out. I think it's really one of the best. And it's very, very good for people that want to catch up on stuff they might not have heard. Mm-hmm. And when you hear it, you enjoy it. I really think ours is the best.
I'll tell you one more little fact. And I know that the people who listen and go to the websites and call us, or the small percentage of very active listeners. They're what you call a P1 listener. But the average person who just gets in their car, you know, for the 45-minute mm-hmm. ride home, they don't even know.
They have no idea.
That it's not... They wouldn't know unless we played that thing that said, you know, you're listening to the best of Don and Mike.
Absolutely. And you know, and for those... And the guys that call are even a smaller percentage that call and do that. They do that because they know, you know what? They know it gets a rise out of us, and they enjoy that.
Well, would you rather I lied? Say, well, I had shingles. That's why we
were like David Letterman.
Yeah. I had shingles.
That's right.
I had really bad, bad shingles. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, great to have you back. I just wanted to check in. I'm leaving Friday on vacation. I'll be back the 16th.
Let me get a pen.
Hold on.
All right, I got it.
And I'm not going to be going to Florida, so don't try to track me down.
Are you going to be back on the 16th?
Right.
16th.
So why so long?
Well, I get 6 weeks a year. I'm only taking...
6 weeks? Jesus. 6 weeks? Jesus Christ.
That's what a union will do for you, baby.
Hey, union. Union label.
Amen, my friend.
Thanks.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. Okay. Enough of that junk.
Well, you know, now we'll get them all over. You know, that's a year now because we reacted to them. We reacted to those little nerd mix.
No.
Hey, I wanted to bring up a point. I wanted to bring up a little point.
I just wonder how come you didn't tell us. Well, I didn't tell you also that when my ass really itched, I didn't tell you that my crotch was burning. I didn't tell you that I got a toenail that I'm going to have taken off this Thursday.
Oh, no.
You know, I don't tell you everything. Really? I mean, although...
Now that you're doing all that, I might as well let everyone know that there's a colonoscopy in my future.
Oh, dear.
The ass...
Hello!
The ass and the crotch thing's a lie, but I do have a very, very bad...
I thought you were coming around with that.
Yeah.
No, it's the ingrown toenail, which has... they're going to have to drain it on Thursday.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Because the toenail fungus has gotten so much better now that I'm in the habit of clipping my toenails, which I never used to do.
Bring a pill bottle with you.
And now
I have a souvenir.
Now I clip them too close.
Oh, dear.
And because I've clipped them too close on one side of my big toe on my right foot.
Ditto an infection?
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Really?
It's awful.
So we won't be quite ready for sandals at the beach yet?
I don't know. I'll let you know what happens on Thursday.
Very good.
I'll let you know. So anyway, we're here now, okay? Does that make everybody happy?
Yeah, it's just those guys. It's just those guys. Everybody else is cool.
Well, it's just, you know, you didn't tell us. And, you know, he's all proud of himself. Hey,
no, it's just, you know, it's your M.O.
It's been your M.O.
Well, frankly, I think we always have made, and I think you and I
it's
both
agree. It's been
agreed,
our H.O.M.O.
I think you and I both agree that we always made too much of a big deal about it.
Yes.
Because we were pandering to guys like that, and we,
right.
And you know, I think thieves in the night next time.
All right, we won't even give you advance warning.
But now people already know it's going to be right around the, you know, the 4th of July.
Or will
before
it?
That.
Or will it? Right, Rob, exactly. Or will it?
Right.
And you know what, get people get pissed when we get Memorial Day?
Mm-hmm.
We get one day,
right.
Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
We get people who are pissed. We had people who were pissed because we were not on for Martin Luther King Day and for President's Day.
Right.
National holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. That guy's, you're getting all worked up.
No.
And you're letting that guy get you. It's your son's 18th birthday. You have successfully raised an 18-year-old son.
Right, right.
Right. Rob, you call that 410, though.
There you go, 410.
Isn't that, what's that marijuana number?
420.
Oh, 420.
Thank you.
Shocker, you knew that.
Thank you, Buzz.
That was 5 minutes ago.
And, you know, Mike, I'll look at this a different way. Now, you're right. We have a week of vacation for every year my son has been born.
There you go. Isn't that great?
We have 18 weeks of vacation
a year. And that will increase by 1 week every year.
Meaning by the time we're done with this contract in 5 years, we will
have 25 weeks of
vacation. That sounds right.
How nutty is that? How freaking nutty is that? Oh, God. Oh.
And incidentally, in the last 2 years, we take it all in one lump sum. like they do in the movies.
Goodbye.
So long.
That's it. That's
See last, you next fall.
That's the last show. We got a break. We'll get to what we did do while we were gone for that immense time. And again, my humble apologies, ass wipe, for not telling you the exact day that we were going and the exact day that we were coming back, because you are so very close to me.
Right.
Because you mean so much to me. Jesus, you're a listener of our goddamn radio show.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But before y'all get to beaming me up, there's a couple things I want you to understand. First off, you chose me, so you recognize the skills. And I don't want nobody calling me son or kid or sport or nothing like that. Cool?
Cool, whatever you say, Slick, but I need to tell you something about all your skills. As of right now, they mean precisely dick.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They have more than enough hair down there. Don and Mike.
All right, let's move on.
Moving on.
Let's move on.
Move on. Happy Monday, everyone.
I wanted to play one tape. Just for you people that have been calling about the vacation.
Ah.
Dedication?
I want to dedicate
this
tape to you people. I never thought I would do this, but I dedicate this.
Rob, I'll take a jingle. Will you take a jingle?
Even though it's not musical.
Yes.
I want to dedicate this. Hey, Rob, can you give me a little reverb?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Right here? Here you go. Right here? Hey, everybody. This is John from the Don and Mike Show, and I want to dedicate this tape to all the jerk-offs that are calling us about our well-deserved vacations.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child, and the child will ask for things
they
shouldn't be given, because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
The most arrogant statement by a performer ever.
I used to ridicule Jerry for that.
Now you completely embrace it.
Man.
Jerry.
Amen, brother. So there you go. Thank you, everyone. That'll end the editorial commenting about our vacation time.
Good night.
Mike, good night. What did you do on your vacation?
I came to terms with my deafness.
Ooh.
In what regard?
I embraced it, because I was down in the land of
You know, being down there as long as I was, where I go every time I have a vacation down into Southwest Florida.
What?
I was really freaked out right before we went on vacation.
What?
And I got that that diagnosis. Which
remember,
really,
we had that. We took that on-air hearing test, and Mike's hearing was actually.
I'm so freaked out by it. It's
quite bad.
I have. Hey, it was. I don't know how bad it is. I'm going to go. You know, it's on the list of so many things that I need to do health wise. And as I went down there, being a an individual who is 25, 30 years junior of most of these individuals that are down there.
What?
There's the best way that I can describe where I go and being down there this time of year, for whatever reason, it immediately really hit home to me that I'm a real minority down there when it comes to my age.
Because you're so young?
There are a lot of stores.
Relatively speaking,
there are a lot of stores that sell oxygen. That's one of the first things that I began. I became aware of all of these things.
You were in Fort Myers, Florida, right?
I was in Fort Myers, Florida, the training camp and home of the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. You'll notice I have my little T-shirt here, my little golf shirt. It says Spring Training Red Sox, Fort Myers, Florida. Do you like that? See a little palm tree?
It's lovely.
Isn't it handsome?
It's nice. It's almost as pretty as my Spider-Man shirt that I'm wearing.
You know, we're like little kids. You know, we come back from our little break.
And you know, I hate baseball, souvenir. But I did ask Mike to get me one souvenir. We forgot to bring it in today.
You got the Uber souvenir, and you know what? They sold out. And I got it the day before St. Patrick's Day, which was a good move because they sold out on St. Patrick's Day.
I knew the baseball teams, they wore green hats. On St. Patrick's
Day. And the Red Sox, because Boston being such an Irish city, it's a bigger deal, and you'll love the hat. I got so much junk. I'm like a little kid when I go down there. But, hey, I just tried to accept and embrace my senior citizen brothers, and I came up short. I came up short on this trip, and I began to lose patience about 4 days into the trip. You know, maybe it's because of everything that I've gone through in the year that I, you know, maybe it's because I'm spending a lot of time by myself. Maybe it's because my golf game was not up to where I wanted it to be, and I was blaming the old people that with their ball retrievers, these long sticks with the little orange thing on the end of it that they, you know, but you can't yell because you're among them. This is their place. And they behave to me. I don't think I'm paranoid. They behave to me like I am the outsider. And so I can't really react. You know, I really can't react. I did get a big charge out of the fact that one of them drove his golf cart into the lake the second to last night that I was down there. And they had to get it out with, they tried ski ropes from a ski boat that one of the younger members had down there. But they ended up having to pull it out with nylon reinforced garden hose.
Let me just say, I know that what you're saying is true, that you're surrounded with old people. But
let me tell you something.
I do happen to know about one swinging night you had.
Right.
Because you told me about it.
I have many swinging nights. I mean, I was...
The night that you had the Elvis impersonator and the Neil Diamond impersonator in your car.
I'm going to get to that, but I'm going to tell you.
Right.
You know, I've mentioned my friend Chris and my friend Chuck, who Chuck does the Neil Diamond tribute show, and Chris does the Elvis tribute show. And Chris is really a good... He's really like one of my best friends now down in Florida when I go down there. But they pulled the golf cart out, incidentally, with the nylon-reinforced garden hose. They were able to get it out there. But I realized where I was when I drove by a store that I don't think you have in many parts of the country, a place that is known as the Denture Depot. They actually have a store down there known as the Denture Depot. And I had a very, very good time, but I was losing my
patience. Don, you are on the air, sir.
Hi, this is Surf. I was losing my patience with the elderly. And I realized suddenly that I started becoming aware of the fact that I had this little diagnosis on the show when we got our hearing check that I was losing.
But you're going deaf.
And then I played my first round of golf down there, and that night I was looking at my hands that were starting to hurt, and I said, I think maybe like I'm getting arthritis. And I really thought that my memory is going. Because I had a friend come down. I had a couple of friends come down, you know, during the course of the week. Our mutual lawyer was, I'm going to tell that story, too. He was supposed to come and visit me, but unfortunately had a little too much evening down in his part of the world. So he called me at 1:45 and asked me to speak to everyone in the bar.
hey, come on, talk to Mike.
So he didn't make it up there. But I just...
Which is so funny because it's a Mike move.
Right.
But you got mad when...
It's a Mike move, but would Mike make it the next day? Would Mike be there the next
Mike
day?
Mike would show the next day.
Mike would post the next day.
Mike would be on time the next day, and that is why you were mad at Doug.
Here's the rule, okay? This is the rule. The rule is this, all right? If you're supposed to be somewhere, you're coming to visit somebody, and you call them the night before you're going to arrive at 1:45 in the morning, and you make them talk, and I was dead sound asleep, and make me talk to everybody, all of your friends in the bar, the next day you show up. You show up when you said you were going to be there. We're supposed to play golf at 12:30, okay? That's a half an hour after lunchtime. It's when some of the old people get up down there. But it was, so then it was another day. I don't want to say that the average age is extremely old down there, but I hung out and partied. One of my best friends down there is 62. Big Bob. My friend Big Bob. I actually went to a bar with Big Bob. I went to happy hour with Big Bob. And Big Bob is like my hip friend down there.
Does anyone call him like Sonny or young guy? Or
well, no, but he's just a young guy. He's got a young attitude. And he's just, he's one of my best friends.
He's 62. He's a young guy.
He's 62. He retired.
He's a young guy.
He's one of the assistant pros down there. And he's one of my guys. And he's my buddy. He's my pal down there. And he likes to say it. He doesn't keep it a secret. He is 62 years old, and I think if I stayed there another week, I think I would have had, I would really have started to become, like, at 43, I would have become elderly. Mm-hmm. I was looking at my hands going, this looks like a little bump, this could be arthritis right here, and then I would say, I had a friend of mine come down, a lady friend of mine come down to Florida, and I said to her, I said something like, I told a story, and then 10 minutes later, I started to tell the same story.
Oh, dear.
And I forgot, like, you know how when the show started and you guys were remembering that moment that we had
the
on the show?
The jewelry.
And I didn't. Yeah, right. That's really what I've been doing the whole time, as I drive by the Denture Depot.
Hold on, let me just stop for a second.
Yes.
You had a lady friend.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Just a friend.
Yeah, right.
I shagged her rotten, baby, yeah.
I also got a little, banged up and called the ex, really late at night.
I did that, too.
I'm a tragic figure. You don't understand. I mean, it's really, I think that's why I'm emotionally very susceptible to, relating to people. You know how you go to a foreign country, and if you stay there long enough, you start to adopt the accent, you start to get a little, it's the same thing when you hang around them.
Old people.
Old people. Will what? And old people, it's the same. You know what excites old people, really excites old people? Talking about their problems, their physical problems, and that's what I found myself starting to do. I was forgetting things. I was repeating myself. I thought I had arthritis. You already know I have the hearing loss, so it's very important that I got back into the work, because I think if I stayed down there,
I
might have
said
died.
All that.
What?
You've already said all that.
Did I just say that?
What you just said about
did
the
I repeat it?
Yeah.
There you go. I know I mentioned Denture Depot, but the Denture Depot is huge. It's an entire block of a strip mall. It is half of a strip mall where, and I didn't have time, but I wanted to go in. I wanted to see what it's like. Is it like Home Depot with teeth? I wasn't sure. But in any event, there's another thing I wanted to mention about my little break, okay? I would like to perhaps, I saw a lot of Red Sox baseball when I was down there. I got a chance to really analyze the team up close and personal.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if there's any chance that I can go back on my bet.
No way.
Oh, dear.
I'm not optimistic this year.
It's the Tom Gavin.
When I say this means they're going to do really well. I'm not optimistic.
Tom Gavin titty bar bet.
They looked like crap most of the time I saw them. They really, really did. And I got tickets over the internet that were like way down at the end. And the nice thing about spring training is you can go to these small little ballparks and be really up close to the players. Well, I got completely screwed and taken advantage of by the person I talked to who sold me the tickets. Because I called the number after I got on the internet. Then I called the number. I said, are these good tickets? I said, yeah, these are the best. I was down if you could go to a spring training ballpark and be as far away from the action. So I ended up doing what a lot of the old people do, which is stand up with your back up against the concrete and just stand during the entire game to get closer.
At any time when you're in Florida, do you have dinner at 4:30?
Yes.
Oh, no!
That's it.
No. We went at 4. It was when I was playing in my golf tournament with my friend that came down. Not the lady friend, a guy friend that came down.
Oh, groovy, baby.
We sat out at the strip mall and waited for the doors to open because we got there at 4:40. Not 4:30. We got there at 4:40. It was not a buffet, Rob.
Oh, because old
it was a little Italian
buffets.
Place.
Old
it
people
didn't,
love buffets.
It didn't open until 5 o'clock.
At Morrison's?
It didn't open until 5 o'clock. And we waited, sitting at because they have benches for the old people waiting. And and so they have benches that are sitting there, and we waited 15 minutes.
It was called death benches?
Death benches, yes. God's waiting room.
You know, Mike, your tickets might not have been that bad at the ballpark. They just seemed bad with your failing vision.
Yes, but no, the eyesight is incredible. My eyesight is fantastic.
And you're also very alert.
But the first day that I came in there, I wore a T-shirt. A green St. Patrick's Day Red Sox T-shirt with a baseball cap, a golf baseball cap, and binoculars, white socks, and shorts. And I got back from the game, and I went into the bathroom, and I had the same outfit on, and I looked at myself, and you know what I was wearing? I was wearing the uniform. I was wearing the uniform of a Southern Florida senior citizen.
All we need to do is get you the white shoes and the white belt.
And what was I driving? What was my rental car?
Cadillac?
It was a Cadillac.
Of course it was.
So I just wanted to say that was my greatest concern. I would like to go back. I don't think the Red Sox have the I don't think they've got it going on. But I did meet somebody. I'm going out of order here. It's not chronological. But I did bump into somebody. We the last night we were there. I had a whole bunch of friends down there. We went over to South Beach because I had to get away from. I had to go for a youth movement. You know.
Yeah.
I had to get an infusion of youth.
Right.
And went down to South Beach. And we're sitting in South Beach in this restaurant where this band that sounds like the Gypsy Kings, they're playing, and it's just like really South Beach. And, you know, it's a great place for people watching and the cleavage. And, you know, you're just watching these
good
women
go
by.
Good for you.
Oh, I was reinvigorated. I was completely reinvigorated. And there's this waitress who is just a hottie. And she keeps walking by. And for whatever reason, I have no idea why, she's looking at me every time she comes by. And it's like one of those deals where about the fourth time, I'm like, hey, yeah. All right. She likes me. And she goes back. She goes by again. So I go up, and I'm going to the men's
smashing
room.
Baby.
She walks up, and she says, Mike? I said, yeah? She said, Don and Mike show? I'm like, yes. Yes, we're not on in Miami, but obviously you've become aware of who I am. And she said, well, I used to work for you. On your show.
Who was it?
It was Dee Dee Skank.
Oh, my God.
Dee Dee Blonde Skank.
Oh!
Blonde Dee Dee Skank.
Wow.
Who has...
Has she matured?
Who has grown up.
Dee Dee Skank.
And I think I overdid it. Because I'd had a few cocktails.
You didn't bang her, did you?
No, I didn't bang her, no. I hugged her like 3 times, though. Because she was so
hot.
Look, oh, my God, she was so hot.
She was indeed.
She's working part-time at a restaurant, and she, like, does advertising work during the day. And she's, you remember she moved out to California?
Right.
And she came back to South Florida.
Dee Dee Skank was kind of cute when she worked
Dee Dee Skank, as a blonde, and I was, you know... At the same time, it was like, hey, great to see you. I was like, that was the only reason she was staring at me, because she recognized me from the show, because she worked for us.
Okay, we got a break.
Oh, I've got a couple of more things to mention.
Get to yours, and then I got to start mine, too. But we'll get to you. And you can talk about the Elvis thing?
I will talk about the Elvis thing, but I will also mention to you something that happened to me the very last moment that I was in Florida before I left the airport. This was on the other side in Fort Lauderdale Airport. My last run-in with an elderly woman and a dog that I swear to God I wanted to put into a sausage maker.
Okay, we'll on that note, right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Men lie, we live lies. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Every man in here got a pornography stash in the crib.
That's right.
Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by.
Thank you.
And when we hide porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator, under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide some porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. You go down 2 flights of stairs into your porno cellar. Janet Jackman, yes. Toby Kahn, Gina Jameson, that's right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the moon juice.
I don't know that one.
Putting the fun back in dysfunctional. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we're back from our vacation.
Yes, glad to be back.
Mike?
Yes,
you're in Florida.
Did I repeat myself?
No.
I
just ran you up here.
I know you wanted to hear about Elvis. You know, my friend down there does the Elvis tribute show, and damn fine. And you know what? When I met him the first time, it was in December, and it was kind of low-key, but now it's like in season down there. And as I mentioned, the elderly folks that are down there, they dig the show. And now he's got it used to be cool because he'd do, you know, this little short set, and then he'd come out and he'd hang out, and we'd party a little bit. Well, he was doing an hour and 10 minutes, and then he only does two sets. And so I'm just sitting there watching the whole thing, and I just went there. You know, I just wanted to hang out with the guy, because really it was the Blue Hair special when he was there. And the moment was when he started doing the, what's the Elvis song, Rob, where it's, you know, oh, glory, glory.
Oh,
the
American Trilogy.
You are a great fan. Thank you so much.
Anybody here never seen us before? Anybody?
And everybody stood up.
Well, our show is the memories of Elvis. This is a tribute to the late king of rock and roll. You know, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
Some memories.
Now, the thing about it is Elvis works with Neil. Neil Diamond.
Uh-oh.
So Elvis does his show, and Neil Diamond, Chuck, runs the little karaoke machine that they press, where they press the Elvis songs, and he has the smoke machine and everything that comes out, and he's doing all the Elvis poses, and then he's handing out the scarves. So we hang out, and we decide, why don't we get together, and we'll go out and hang out. So we pick a night where both the guy doing the Elvis show and the guy doing the Neil Diamond show aren't working, and we'll go out together. So it's me, my buddy who played in my golf tournament, Randall, and in the back seat of my Cadillac,
Elvis
and Presley and Neil Diamond, having an argument the likes of which you would not believe, really yelling at each other about, you know, who is the better tribute artist. He said, and you know, and Chuck is saying, well, at least the guy I do a tribute to isn't dead. He said, yeah, at least I don't look like a sexual predator. You know, it's like they're going back and forth with this. And I just said, at that very moment, I looked at my buddy and I said, sitting in back of us, we got Elvis Presley and Neil Diamond, and it was very, very special, and they are very, very good friends. And I that was really one of the brightest spots of you know, which tells you something about my vacation. One of the brightest spots, next to the guy driving into the lake with his golf cart and getting it out with the other. But the last time, so I go over to South Beach, meet Dee Dee Skank, and then I'm leaving the next day, and I go to Fort Lauderdale, where I'm used to Dulles Airport, where the security is very, very tight and very, very detailed. And I think at all airports now, with the war going on, you've got tight security. I think everyone that's gone to an airport will see the area where they can pull you over and do random inspections with your cars. But I get to security at Fort Lauderdale Airport, and I'm going through, and the guy says, "Stop right there!" I mean, just really loudly, like, not, you know, not loud that you could be screaming loud, but I stop, and the guy, I turn around, the guy goes, "Just kidding." I'm not. And I looked at him, and I'm saying, you know, I'm a phobic flyer anyway. This climate with all these security guys all crawling around, it's freaking me out anyway. And he just goes, "Just kidding." And you know, and he lifted up the little little tape barrier that they have when you have to go through the Disney turnstile line back and forth. He lifted it up so I didn't have to go through all the different aisles, and I was able to walk right up to the front. And I go through, and you know, at this time I'm ready to get on my plane and come home. And it is on a Sunday, everybody's coming back from Florida. It's very, very busy in there, and I'm looking for my gate. I think I was at like gate C4, and I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I feel like I stepped on a piece of gum or something. At the same time, I look down. As soon as I look down, it all dawns on me simultaneously. I look down, and I smell the wafting odor of poo. And I look down, but it's this dollop. It's this tiny little dollop of poo, these tiny little, like, raisinettes of poo. And there are, like, 20 of them. And I this is all dawning on me simultaneously. I look up, and there's this old lady with this little foo-foo dog that's S-ing all over in the middle of the gator on the carpet. And she's standing there
like this is normal behavior. And this dog, I am not exaggerating.
You're going to hear people, Mike.
This dog has laid his little raisinettes, which the lady has not prepared for. This gets better, because you'll see who, you know, your tax dollars at work, the National Traffic Safety, whatever the hell they're calling it, Homeland Security.
Right.
This is what blew me away. This dog has laid a swath of dollops of not, and this is not dry, okay? Yeah. This is moist turd.
Right, BM.
This is the kind
Runny
of...
dog, BM.
This is the kind, it's just, it's really what the dog is doing, is he's squirting all along, and the dog is in full squat, and obviously having a bit of distress getting it, and the lady is this elderly, I would say 60, mid-60s, well-dressed, well-coiffed woman who is sitting there looking up, like she's just going, and I said, I was going to say, you know, your dog, why don't you clean up the poo that the dog is leaving here? And at that very moment, out of the bathroom, out of the men's room, comes one of those guys with the white shirt, the Homeland Security guy.
Right.
The security guard comes out with like 10 paper towels to give to this woman, and she says, thank you very much, and holds them. And the dog continues to take his dump from the where I stepped in, and I was on the perimeter of the where the dog poo was, from where I stepped in to where this dog finished, because he was, you know how dogs get an itchy anus?
Do I?
And they drag it across.
Right.
It was kind of that.
Do I?
It was kind of that movement. It was that, you know, where he was. The dog is taking these little hey stutter steps.
They're wiping
across.
Themselves on the carpet.
Yeah. His butt was touching the carpeting, but he was also, then it would lift up, and then he would put it back down again. From the time where I stepped in, the place where I stepped in, to where he finished, was easily 15 feet.
Wow.
I am not exaggerating. And people are coming and going. They weren't looking at the gate. They were looking up. If I had been looking even straight ahead, I would have seen that there are like 30 dog dollops. And this is a tiny dog. This is the kind of little Benji dog. It's this tiny little dog, you know, you put like the rich ladies have under their arms in New York. It's that kind of dog. And, you know, thank you. I was in such shock I couldn't say anything. And nobody seemed to give an ass. Even the one...
He just made a joke, though.
Give an ass?
Yeah. Right, I get it.
I look back at one of the security guys that just gave me one of these little head shakes with a grin, and I'm like, that was the only person that acknowledged the fact. Have you ever witnessed this in the middle of a busy airport, of a crowded airport, that a dog is having pseudo-diarrhea across a 15-foot area of, you know, and this is a relatively new area of the airport. It looked very pristine, but this was not the kind. When she picked it up, I didn't stick around to see because I could smell it, and it was on my foot. I ended up having to go into the men's room and get a paper towel, and, you know, it was just a tiny little dollop, but it was, you know, I was wearing sandals, so it was kind of a drag that I had to deal with that. But, you know, the lady's attitude was just like, yes, here I am. There is my dog having pseudo-diarrhea all over the airport floor. The carpeting. And I knew that when she was going to go and pick it up with the paper towels, that it wasn't going to be it wasn't going to be one of those little dry pickups.
No.
This was going to be a smear. So what you were going to have for anybody, you know, walking with sandals after me, you were going to have smeared dog poop for the rest of the afternoon. And I know those transportation safety guys aren't going to come by with like a Hoover steam vac and clean it up. So you were going to have the smell of S in the airport. Thank you, ma'am, for the benefit of all of the Sunday travelers to enjoy the smell of her dog's ass.
Not to mention, people down there probably not that sure-footed to begin with.
No.
A slip factor.
Yeah, well, there was, I mean, my God, you know, I mean, I we will all be old someday. I have to say this, and I don't begrudge these people that, but to say that our plane left late because we had the wheelchair parade, you know, prior to departure, which we did. Much more going down than coming back, though. You know, coming down, it's like if there's anybody that needs pre-boarding, like half the plane.
The wheelchair is not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The wheelchair, as someone who tried to use it with my mother-in-law, is trying to get in front of lines in Disneyland.
I actually helped the lady with the wheelchair.
At the airport, it ain't what it used to be.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't open the doors that it used to. I'll tell you, at Disney, if you get a...
That's a huge scam at Disney. So the wheel, are you aware of that? At the wheelchair like scam where
no.
Families use it?
And you can't get away with it anymore.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Now, you can rent a wheelchair for $8 a day at Disney,
mm-hmm.
but unless you have
a note, an actual document from a doctor saying that you need to be in a wheelchair.
Right.
You can't use it to get in front of the line.
You can't go to the front. You know what I hear gets you on the front of the line at Disney now?
What?
If you, like, squat down and leave, like, a 15-foot trail of poop. Then they'll put you right on the ride and give you, like, a whole stack of paper towels. But that was my, you know, that was my little farewell to Florida. It was, like, one of those little moments that actually made me feel glad that I was coming back to, you know, kind of a normal existence back here. If you'd seen the expression on this woman's face, it was, yes, it is my dog, and what he's doing is pooping. And there's nothing you can do. It goes to show that when you've always said this, like when you go into a concert or you want to get backstage and you want to be somewhere, you just act like you belong. That's what this woman was doing. And I think that's probably why I didn't say anything to her either. She acted as though
it was normal.
This is what everyone does. They feed their dog beans and cheese, bring him to the airport, and let him have diarrhea. The dog was not healthy.
Well.
The dog was not healthy by a long shot, you know. That you'd think one pile. There were like 20 of them.
Well, let me just segue from your diarrhea.
You have, oh, yeah.
Do I have diarrhea?
Oh, my God, I know you do, you know, because you called me. Oh, wow.
Do I have diarrhea? Well, Mike was down in Florida for both weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The first week of our vacation was supposed to be a second honeymoon.
That's nice.
That
can I just say before you start here, as much as you might have thought I had... There's a reason why he's waiting to go last year, because I just got a little taste of this. I think it's very important that people perhaps stop what they're doing, and even if they're driving, they might want to pull the car over to the side of the road.
The first part is actually quite nice. We broke up the vacation, the 2 weeks, into two segments. The first segment is going to be my wife and I going on a cruise, fly down to Puerto Rico, go on a cruise, just the two of us, and then... We go from Puerto Rico to Orlando, and we meet my mother-in-law and my son, and we have spring break at Disney,
right,
which I hate, and Universal, which I love. I'll tell you about both those in a second. So we're on the boat. Now, we're on this boat that's going to, like, St. Thomas and Antigua. It's very nice. Celebrity cruise lines, really nice. Started off, the first 2 days could not have gone better.
Right.
First off, I'm knocking the bottom out of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my wife and I are having sex. Like, we haven't had sex.
Good
I mean,
for you.
First thing we did, we got in the, on the boat, we got in the room. First thing we did, we bang. And banged her again. Like twice in 10 minutes. Was on fire.
That's good.
Feels so good. And she wouldn't play this game with me, but Robbie, I was continuing our Ocean's 11 game.
That's right.
I would be down by the pool.
Right.
My wife would be about 10 feet away in a chaise lounge. We're waiting for the boat to leave dock. We're in Puerto Rico for the first day. And I'm down in the pool, got a drink, got a cigar. Old guy comes up next to me. How you doing? I said, I'm doing very well, thanks. What's your name? I said, my name's Danny Ocean.
You're still using that.
Yeah, he says, nice to meet you, Dan. My name's Bud. I'm from Houston, Texas.
You know, you're taking a chance on a cruise ship, though, because, I mean, you're gonna, now, you know, the odds are you're going to see this guy again.
Yeah.
Now, Bud starts telling me about his life,
right,
that he works in the oil business, and he says, what do you do, Danny? I said, well, I travel a lot. Really? See, I was just in Las Vegas recently.
So you're not only using the name, you're continuing the whole. You're
right.
Going to give him the
character. Now at this point, I'm thinking the guy's going to catch on, right? He says, "Well, what do you do out in Vegas? Vacation? Work related?" I said, "Well, actually, my friends and I robbed three of the largest casinos in Las Vegas."
Now you must have had a couple of drinks before.
No,
this guy. No, you were sober when you did this.
Someone called for a doctor.
I admire that.
I was sober as a judge.
Right.
And Frida was sitting 10 feet away.
Right.
And
she hear it.
Yeah, she's hearing this and just looking at me, giving me this look like no, no. And the guy says, "Oh, come on." I said, "Yeah, the Bellagio, the Mirage, MGM Grand." He said, Are you pulling my leg? I said, let me just say this. I have been in prison. And he said, come on now. And I said, that's the problem I have with my wife, Tess. So there she is. Tess, say hi. And, you know, Frida's got the big straw hat on. She's like, hi. Say, that's Tess. We had a problem for a while in our marriage because... I lied to her, but I only lied to her about being a thief.
Right.
And once we came to terms with that, things were pretty good. And the guy at that time just kind of looked at me and started to back away a little bit. And I said, are you familiar with the movie Ocean's 11? No. I said,
that kind of would kill it.
I said, how about the original with Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack? No. I said, my name's not really Danny Ocean. I'm just doing a skit with you. I'm just goofing around with you.
How did that play?
Yeah. It didn't.
No, I didn't think it would.
It didn't. He said, I don't find the thought of robbing a casino and spending time in prison to be poolside chatter.
Wow.
And I went, well, I'm just kidding. If you do me a favor, I said, go down to the ship's library, rent the DVD movie Ocean's 11 with George Clooney, and you'll see, and he's
that, you're asking an awful lot of a total stranger.
And he, incidentally, in the pool, he was wearing a cowboy hat.
Okay.
He was wearing a cowboy hat.
So you, the reason you were doing it is because he was a good mark.
Yeah, and he got mad, and he walked away, and I went back, and I sat down next to Frida, and she said...
Sat down next to Tess?
Yeah, she said, you ass H. She said, you know, you ASS, you know. Then she called me whole afterwards. She said, don't ever... She said, stop that. Don't ever do that again.
You're in kind of that euphoric mood, being a first day of a break and all that.
But I couldn't help it, because every time, like, one of the waiter guys would walk by or something, they would say, hello, my name is, Tunzi, or whatever the name is. A lot of these guys are from, like, third world countries that are the stewards and the waiters and stuff. And I would always say, I'm Daniel Ocean. And so my wife, Tess, because later...
She wanted to hear Mr. Ocean.
Because later, it would piss Frida off when they would come by and they would go, Mr. Ocean, would you like a piña colada? So after one day of doing that, she told me to stop it.
Right.
But I continued. And I would have myself paged on the ship. Danny Ocean. Danny Ocean to Promenade Deck 4.
Danny Ocean.
So we're having a real good time. Even with this, we're having a good time. Because after a while, she's given in to the fact that I'm going to do this. And I'm continuing to introduce myself as Danny Ocean, and this is my wife, Tess. And we get an email. Now, we've been trying to contact our son. We've been gone for 2 days, and we received nothing. We've written him. The ship's got an email thing. We get nothing. Well, all of a sudden, we get an email from him that says, urgent, urgent, urgent. So Frida says, oh, we finally got an email from Bart. Well, here's what the email said. He had overdrawn his checking account, and he was concerned that he was going to bounce a check. So he wanted my wife to email him the password for our Quicken account. In other words, he wanted just like
carte blanche.
The key to open up all of the bank vaults.
Right.
And
right.
So we sent him back a note saying, you know, absolutely not. Grandma will give you money to cover the check that you wrote. And that's all we heard from him. Now, things were great. At this point, Frida and I were getting together. We were constantly spending time together. Right. We were goofing on these lounge singers, Karen and Carl, who were very much like that Saturday Night Live thing.
Right.
You know, clang, 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 went to Crowley.
Sure.
I mean, these guys in the lounge, we would go every night and have a martini, and I'd have a cigar, to hear them go like, I don't know how many of you people are familiar with the Flower Power Generation, but there was a little song that went something like this by the Lovin' Spoonful. It'd be the worst SEO keyboard. They go, hot down, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. And they sucked ass. And they were awful, but we loved going to see them.
So bad they were good.
So it's now 3 days into this cruise, and things are fantastic, because my wife's not making me do any of the junk you have to do on this ship, like where you get off and you go to an excursion when you stop at these dumb ports. It's great. The third day, about noon, she said, wow, I'm really not feeling well. And she had been very tired the day before. She said, I'm going to go up to the room. I said, all right, I'll see you in a little while. I'm continuing to lounge by the pool. Continuing to be called, you know, the guy's Mr. Ocean.
Mr. Ocean.
Hi, Mr. Ocean.
And you get great joy out of it.
I'm loving it. Incidentally, I met the captain. Get into this later. At dinner at his table. And the place card said Danny Ocean when I had dinner at the captain's table.
Fantastic.
But I go up to the room at about 2 o'clock to check on my wife, bring her an ice cream cone, and she is absolutely gaunt. She looks olive. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she has it coming out both ends. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as I am talking to her, she is puking into the big trash can, and then she's running into the bathroom for the you know, the BM. She's coming back out, and she says, "I really don't feel good." I said, "Okay, trust me, I'll help you out on this, because you know we're on the cruise ship, and everybody's got this cruise ship virus thing that they're worried about."
Right? Probably a subject while you've been on the boat at some point.
Right. Well, I go down to the medical station, mm-hmm. and they say, "We can't help you until 5 o'clock, until the ship leaves port. What you can do is attempt to get off the boat and get your wife some Pepto Bismol in town." So
really?
So I get off the boat, you know, and I'm in like some third world country.
Now, are you anchored? Do you have to take a shuttle in?
Yeah, no, you just walk right off the gangplank.
Oh, so you're at the you're at a dock.
So we're at a dock, and we get off, and I'm going to these pharmacies, and they've got everything in the world except Pepto Bismol.
Right.
So finally, I find some Mylanta. I end up paying, I don't know what the equivalent is in dollars, but you know, I just give them a 20. And I got like $4 back, so I paid $16 for a tiny bottle of Mylanta. I get back to the room with it, and my wife is still, and it's coming out her ass, it's coming out her mouth, and I touch her forehead, and she is burning up, and she's shaking and like with the blankets, and she says, "I have never felt this sick for my life." I get a thermometer and I take her temperature. 105.
Oh boy. Mm.
105.
Doctor time.
Now, meanwhile, the doctor.
Someone called for a doctor?
The doctor won't see her until 5 o'clock, until the ship sets sail. So.
Well, is there some legal reason for that or what?
I don't know what the deal is. Mm. Well, we got a break. Okay, so we'll leave it right there. We'll come back. I'll tell you. She ended up being fine, and it's a very, very interesting solution to how the ship decided to deal with the fact that my wife had what turns out to be maybe the cruise ship virus.
Really?
We're not sure. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Good drive, folks.
All right, we're in the victory temple. I can't get it.
She's having sex.
Yeah!
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on. Ah, there we go. All right.
Camel Toe, Moose Knuckle, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Right. So, when I left, you were on the cruise ship. My wife's
coming out both ends.
Both ends. Mm. Very sick.
You get the Mylanta.
Does no good.
Mm.
She drinks some, and immediately she pukes it up.
Oh, man.
Now, it's 5 o'clock, and I call down to the...
Someone called for a doctor?
Call down to the medical place, and they say, "My wife is very sick."
Yeah.
I called 3 hours ago, and they said to call now, and they said, "Well, yeah, we're open. Bring her down."
Ship's doctor.
Ship's doctor.
Someone called for a doctor?
Doc. Love. So, as it turns out, she can't, she's so sick, she can't get out of bed.
Right.
So, I physically carry my wife to the elevator, go down, we were on the 9th floor, we go down to the bottom floor where the medical center is, and I physically carrying my wife in, put her in the chair, and right away the doctor comes out and says, "What's the problem?" Now I said, you know, I'm a little agitated, and I said, "Well, 3 hours ago I called you and said she's got 105 degree temperatures coming out of both ends." Right away the guy said, "Okay, please get her in here." Now they bring her in a hospital bed. They've got a real, like, little hospital on this cruise ship. And right away the guy says to me, "You know, there's this cruise ship virus thing going on. And we don't know if your wife has food poisoning or if it's that, but the Center for Disease Control has some very strict rules about this. We're going to have to get your wife hooked up to on an IV right now, and she's going to have to get a shot, and then I'm going to have to talk to you. So I'm thinking, oh, all right, you know, worst case scenario, I'm going to have a swinging night by myself, right? I'm thinking, you know, my wife is sick, but here she is. She's got an IV going into her.
Right.
With antibiotics. She's got the shot in her ass. She's feeling better.
You're not going to sit by the bed all night long as far as...
Well, no. I was sitting there with her for an hour. And then at that point, she said, it's okay if you want to go.
Huh.
I'll be okay. I said to them, can she go back up to the room? And they said, no, she's still too sick.
Right.
But... you can't leave either.
Right.
And I said, why? He said, well, you might have it too. I said, but I feel fine.
Feel fine, why not?
So, here's what they told us. We're on this cruise ship. We're on day number 3 of a 7-day cruise. They said, you have 2 options. When we stop at the next port, whatever goddamn third world country port it was, you can get off the boat, and we'll pay you to fly you wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can stay on the boat. Your wife is going to have to be quarantined for 72 hours.
Oh, my God.
Now, we paid for a real nice... stateroom, like the kind you see on TV, the type that you never really get.
Right.
I mean, like the kind that had a couch and a table and a big bathroom and a giant big deck room.
Right.
We could actually sit out there and have our dinner while the ship is moving.
Very cool.
So, I mean, we've paid for all of this.
Right.
And here's the deal that the doctor gives me. He says, you guys can either get off the boat now or... for the next 3 days, the remainder of the cruise, until we go back to Puerto Rico, your wife has to stay quarantined in her room. Now, you have to be quarantined for 24 hours to make sure that you don't have any of the symptoms that your wife has.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend those 24 hours in the room with her.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in the room with her, you have to stay in the room with her for 3 days. So if you go to another room... for 24 hours, then come back and you're okay, then the last 2 days of the cruise, you could, like, do whatever you want to do, but your wife has to stay in this room by herself.
Wow.
So, my head is spinning.
That's a hell of a lot of information to decipher.
I don't know. And she says, and I give my wife some props, she said, listen, what the hell? We're here already. I'm sick. I'll stay in the room. You do whatever they want you to do, and then, you know, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you'll go down to the ship's doctor, and if you're well, they'll let you go.
Right.
I went, okay. I said, well, what do I do about my clothes? And the guy said, well, we'll accompany you up to your room.
Yeah.
You will get your belongings that you need. And now at this point, I mean, I'm paying a lot of money for this cruise.
Right.
So one of the questions I had was, well, I paid for this huge room with this big-ass, you know, veranda. What kind of room am I going to be put in? He said, well, there are no rooms like the one that you have.
Oh, God.
We will put you in the nicest possible room that we have available.
All right.
So I went, okay, I can deal with that. So I go downstairs, and they're serious about this quarantine stuff.
Sounds
it's like, while my wife is still downstairs, while Frida's still downstairs in this hospital getting the IV, one of the doctors walks upstairs with me to the room and watches me take out a couple of shirts and a couple of pairs of pants. And my,
so they're basically guarding you at this
my
point.
My dop kit and my cigars and stuff. It says, okay, do you have everything that you need in the out of this room? Yeah. Because you realize you will not be able to see your wife again until we dock in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I say...
is that like the end of the cruise?
Yeah. I said...
So her cruise is over.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I got it. So they lead me out the hallway, and I go down to this room, which for, you know, under any circumstances, it would be... it's okay. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've paid a goddamn king's ransom to get this perfect room...
right.
...with this gigantic balcony... And all of a sudden, I'm in a room that is not one-third the size of the room that I've been in. And they say, oh, but you have a balcony. And the balcony was exactly big enough for one chair.
Right.
It was like one of those tiny, like, 3 foot by 3 foot balconies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where technically you could open the door and you, if you positioned yourself.
You have to stay in this room for 24 hours.
Right, for 24 hours.
Your wife will be guarded for 3 days.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. I'm in the crappy room, and I had been great on my diet.
Does she get to go back to the good room?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the deal that we made.
Right.
And she said, well, I don't want to ruin the rest of the cruise. And I said, well, I don't want you to be in the crappy room, so you stay in the nice room at least.
Right.
And I'll go to the crappy room. Well, I went to the crappy room, and I got S-faced. because it was the first night that I was without my wife, and I realized we had had a nice room. And
right.
We had been having really such a great time on this cruise.
Right.
I mean, she and I were really having a fantastic time. And I realized all of a sudden I am alone in the crappy little room. And at one point, I've had all of the vodka that's in the mini bar. That's another thing. The mini bar in the room that we were in was, like, stocked with the high shelf stuff. And they would refill it constantly. Well, the one I'm in had the cheap booze,
right,
and only two little bottles.
And you know? you're going to be in this room. You can't even go outside.
Well, now, and I found this out because after I had a vodka and tonic.
No matter how nice a room you're in or whatever, I mean, the fact that you're confined is kind of freaky.
While I'm in this room the first night, I need some ice. I can't have a drink without an ice. So I got the ice bucket, and I opened the door, and as soon as I opened the door, one of these ship's guys that's got the earpiece, right? And he comes over and he goes, excuse me, can I help you? And I'm not even out of the room. And I said, yeah, I need some ice. He said, please call room service and they'll be glad to bring you ice. You cannot leave your room for 24 hours.
Wow.
If you leave your room at any time before the 24 hours, you will be escorted off the boat immediately. So I'm like,
and that means like you're in the middle of the ocean.
Plank, plank.
So
you'll be thrown into the sea.
So I'm going nuts. I'm really going nuts. Yeah. This was the day that I rang the huge phone bill.
Yeah.
Because it was the day the war started, and I was calling. I called Rob. I called Mike. I called Alan. I called everybody. I was calling my wife all the time, who was starting to feel better. Finally, at 5 o'clock that day, I call him up and I say, can I see the doctor now? Can I see it now? Please, please. Okay, 5 o'clock the following day after 24 hours of being caged inside. I go down. They take my blood and I say, I'm fine, but they got to do the blood test and everything.
Wow, it's pretty heavy-duty stuff.
Well, here's the deal. Here's why we're going to be getting a free cruise from Celebrity. Because we didn't flip out. When I was down there going back for my 24-hour checkup, there was a guy whose wife had also gotten sick.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman was not happy that his wife had been put into isolation as well. And to show his displeasure, he had picked up a chair and started to throw a chair across the waiting room.
Hey.
Guy was having a meltdown.
Yeah.
Wigging out.
Oh. Guy was really going ballistic. So the doctor was saying to me, you know, well, we appreciate the fact that, you know, you guys are cool about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, what can we do? You know, I mean, really, our options were very limited at this point. So Frida was stuck in her room, and they made a point of telling me, don't go to that room. Don't go near that room. Now, keep in mind, this is the weird part of this, that, like, they let maids, Jack, mm-hmm. and other people go in there to...
It's probably like rules that are set down. You know, it's right. They're probably just doing letter of the law as far as, you know, it's strange.
They would let the waiter go in and the woman to change the linens and stuff, but they wouldn't let me go in. And they said, here was the deal now for me. If I go in that room, I can't leave. So they said, we're going to be watching. So you can't go in that room to see your wife.
God.
So
How was your wife doing with 3 days in solitary?
She was a much better sport than I would have.
Oh, really?
About it. Well, she was sick for two of the 3 days.
So two of the 3 days, she's in bed anyway, right?
She was out of it. So, you know, I get the free pass now, and I realized at that point, that's when the light bulb went off, and I went, wait a minute, hold on. This is not all bad for me. I'm not in the nice room, but I'm on a cruise by myself now, right? I can do whatever the frig I want.
Right.
But the problem is, it was no fun doing it without my wife.
Sure.
Like, I wanted to go down, I went down to the casino to play some blackjack.
Right.
Told everybody my name was Danny Ocean, and it was
not as fun when your wife doesn't get annoyed.
It's no fun when she's not there. And I had dinner at the captain's table, and I think they did that because Frieda was sick.
Yeah, you know? Because you were dealing with this stuff, right?
And
you didn't throw a chair.
When they asked for my name, when they called up called the room, the lady who had the cruise directors, a British lady, says, I realize you're by yourself, but would you like to have dinner with the captain tonight? I said, oh that would be great. Oh, right, and what shall I put on the placard, being as it's not Mr. and Mrs.? I said, put Mr. Daniel Ocean. And she doesn't question it.
Of course.
Right, even though I'm registered under my real name.
Daniel Ocean.
So I go to sit down at the table.
Were there any other people getting sick during this time?
Yeah, there was, on this cruise, 8 different people that got sick.
So they think it might have been the virus?
Well, they said that the Center for Disease Control says that anything over 0.3%, and they have to put them into isolation.
All right.
So, anyway, we didn't make a big deal about it. We didn't throw the chair. We didn't flip out. And for the next 2 days, what I would do is I would go to the door of our room. I was allowed to do that. And I would knock on the door, and I would just look into the keyhole, into the peephole, and I couldn't see her. I couldn't see her, but she could see me.
Wow.
And it was just, I would just, you know, hi. I love you. How you doing?
Kind of scary.
And I'd hear behind the, you know, I hear
she's
behind,
like the woman in the bubble.
Behind the door, she'd go, I'm doing fine. Thank you for the flowers. I said, well, I love you. Can I get you anything else? No, I'm fine. Have a good time today. Okay. Love you, baby. It was weird.
And then you'd be off.
Yeah.
And then at any time, did security question why a man was looking through a keyhole in the middle of the boat?
No. There was a guy that was standing at the door.
Oh, he was okay with it.
And he knew that. He knew that I could have picked up the phone to talk to her.
Right.
And actually, we had a room that went right by the elevator. There were the elevators that are glass. So actually, as I would go down the elevator, if my wife was out on the little balcony, I could actually see her and wave for a second. But it generally sucked.
She must have really wigged out on the third day when she was feeling good.
She was going nuts.
That's too bad.
She was going nuts by the third day.
You're really kind of a captive person.
Here's the thing. The reason we went on this cruise was, first, we wanted to be alone, have a nice romantic time.
Right.
And also, the cruise was supposed to chill me out so I'd be ready for Disney. I was chilled out for the first 2.5 days until Frieda got sick. And then I didn't have a good time by myself. I just...
Well, you're a little concerned about everything, I
didn't. I really didn't. I didn't have a good time at all without her. And I was finally reunited with her on Saturday morning. Real funny, though, the way the cruise lines look at this. They want to make sure you're isolated and that you're all by yourself, in quarantine. But as soon as you arrive back at the port...
Get out of here.
It's like, yeah, okay, you might have the cruise ship virus and we've quarantined you for 72 hours, but now go ahead, go to the airport and be with thousands of people.
Go ahead, touch everything.
Spread your germs.
Unless you pat people on the back, pick your nose, wipe it on things. Go ahead, have fun.
So we, I got a break because we're going to get to Disney next. And that's where I lost it.
Mm. You know, it's always wonderful to hear about Disney.
And it's
did
not,
they ever give you a definitive word on what it was? I mean, did they ever?
They think it was just food poisoning, although she still is sick even today.
Really?
She has lingering symptoms, so we don't know if it's cruise ship virus or if it's just something else. Wow. Or she's just lovesick, Mike. Absolutely.
She's got the love virus.
But anyway.
So she's still got lingering effects.
Yeah, wow. So good. And as we are getting off the boat, she's saying to me, you know, I was like, God, I missed you so much, and I missed you too. She said, but don't worry, we'll have a great time in Florida with my mom and with Bart. She said, are you sure you're going to be okay for Disney? And I said, I know I'm going to be A-okay for Disney.
Disney.
And I was A-okay for Disney.
Ah, Disney.
For a few minutes. okay, we got a break. The good stuff that you've been waiting for. My Disney meltdown is coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show.
They soothe your chapped ass. Don and Mike.
Great to be back. Great to be out of Disney.
Man, you went back for more, huh?
Now, you know, we got a bit on the show that we hate Disney. And I have confirmation that Disney still hates us.
Right.
But nonetheless, it was what my son requested for his spring break. Mm-hmm. That we'd spend half the week at Disney World and
right.
half the week at Universal Studios.
Okay.
We arrived, we all met, my wife and I came from Puerto Rico, my mother-in-law, Big Frida, and Bart came from D.C. We got in Orlando at the airport at the exact same time.
Right.
Got the rental car, got the bags, headed off to Walt Disney World. Or we were staying at the Animal Kingdom, or as I called it, the BM Palace. Because in typical Disney fashion, the Animal Kingdom is a hotel done with their fake African the stuff on the wall.
Right, right.
The memorabilia.
Sure.
Plastic, you know, all of it, prefab African.
Plastic made to look like wood.
Yeah, and animals, which I noticed, would walk approximately 30 yards away from your window, but they had a very sophisticated hidden electric fence.
Right. Yeah.
Which I guess they gotta have, because you can't have like a zebra or something.
Yeah, coming
to your walking
room.
Up to your window.
Right. All designed for you by the Imagineers, Don.
Well, we get to Disney, and I'm trying to keep, hard as this might be to believe, I'm trying to keep a good outlook.
Right.
Even though the last half of our cruise has been ruined,
yes.
I'm thinking, well, this is not gonna be too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We arrived at the Animal Kingdom at 4. Now, I wrote notes.
Oh, good.
When we arrived to check in, now check-in time is 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
When we arrived at 4, there were 19 people, 19 parties ahead of us in line. There were 6 tellers that were working, although 3 of them were not working.
Like, we're just sitting there?
3 of the 6 were looking at their computers and frantically typing stuff in computers and doing that thing where they don't make eye contact with anybody.
Right.
So I was...
Oh, I'm going to enjoy it.
I was mad already. I was mad, and I had one guy in particular, a guy who had a shaved head, the white guy, named Chuck. That's what the name tag said. Chuck.
Hello, Chuck.
And as we moved up in line from 19th to 18th to 17th, of the 6 people, Chuck was the only one who had not offered to help one of the families in line.
Right.
Chuck was the guy who was just apparently solving some world crisis on his computer, because he kept looking at the screen and punching his keyboard and
sure.
looking at it some more, but never bothering to look up. Now,
right.
I was already getting pissed, and Frida said to me, "Why? I got an idea. Why don't you just go to the bar,
mm-hmm.
and why don't you just have a drink, and why don't you just wait?
But you enjoyed it.
While we check in." I said, "No, because I want to make eye contact with Chuck. So finally, 40 minutes later, we are the next family in line.
You're standing in line for 40 minutes?
Waiting for the next available person to check us in to this a goddamn rip-off, phony, plastic Animal Kingdom, bull-ass Disney
motel
crap. So, we get a woman.
And it's not the guy that I wanted. We get the girl. She says, next, please. As we're walking by, I can't help myself. I just go, hey, Chuck, how you doing? And you didn't even look up.
Of course not.
And I said, Chuck, you got a problem with eye contact? Hey, Chuck. Meanwhile, I feel it on my arm. I'm getting the pull for free to, like, stop it. You're embarrassing me already.
Right.
So we wait in line. We get the room. We go to the room. The room is adequate. We have we've overpaid for a really crappy Motel 6 room.
They're all that way. No matter how nice the places are on the outside, they're all that way on the inside.
My wife and my mother-in-law have nice big queen-size beds. My son and I have a double bed, and then there are bunk beds where my son, who is 6'1",
right,
is sleeping on a bunk bed with his feet are hanging off the side.
Right.
And, you know, he smells and he doesn't believe in putting clothes in drawers and stuff like that. So the whole thing was Saturday checking. It was a mess. And we went down to had dinner Saturday night at their African motif restaurant. Which was it's just all such phony crap. But I resolved that Sunday was going to be a better day. That I was going to really put Saturday behind me.
Sure.
Good.
Until I woke up on Sunday morning, and it was not lightly raining, and it was not thunderstorming. It was monsoon rain. I mean, it was...
I was watching the golf tournament.
It was heavy-ass...
They have a golf tournament in Orlando.
Yeah. The one the Tiger Woods won.
Right.
It was bad rain. Now, my mother-in-law, she's got the right idea. She said, I'm going to just stay in the room today. This right. was the first real day in Disney, because we checked in on Saturday and on Sunday. She said, the weather's bad. I'm just going to stay in the hotel. So we said to Bart, where do you want to go? And he said, well, I want to go on the Tower of Terror.
Right.
You know, another dumb, overrated, overhyped ride where you... we also paid at Disney for the option to have Fast Pass. Now, let me explain to you what you pay for with a Fast Pass. Essentially, what you're paying for is you're better than everybody else. And what you do is there's a special line for you where because you paid this extra exorbitant fee, you don't have to wait in line for the ride.
Right.
Well, we leave the hotel room, get in the car, and because you can't, I mean, I refused to take the bus. I said, you know, I know we're going to have to take the Disney transportation, but let's at least drive from the Animal Kingdom to MGM Studios. So we drive, and we're sitting in a line just to get in the goddamn MGM Studios.
It's Disney!
And once you get there, once you park your car 20 miles away from where the actual place is...
A little crowded in the park.
In the pouring rain, in the pouring friggin' rain, you got to go wait in line for a tram, a bus... And you sit on this bus and your ass gets wet
because
it's pouring rain. And then you gotta wait in line outside in the pouring rain for the tram that's gonna take you to the entrance where you gotta wait in another line while they make sure that you have paid. And if God forbid, like my wife, you're carrying a purse, they gotta go through your purse. So anyway, it's an hour and a half from the time we got out of the car in the parking lot to the time that we are finally through the gates of MGM Studios.
It's Disney.
It is pouring rain, and everywhere you go, it smells like wet dog. I mean, there were no dogs there, but that was just, that was the smell. You would go in
smell of too many people.
You go in one of the stores, and it would smell like wet dog. And we got this, I'm thinking now, I'm not going to get mad, because we've got the speed pass.
Right.
So Bart and I, right away, first thing, say, we're going to go to the Tower of Terror.
Sure.
We go over there. Now it is 9:30 a.m. We go to the Tower of Terror, and it says estimated wait time, if you're one of the regular schmucks, 75 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
An hour, 15 minutes.
Yeah. At that hour?
Wait time, yes.
Jesus.
Amazing. Now, if you're lucky, this is 9:30 in the morning, if you're lucky enough to have the speed pass, congratulations. Wave your speed pass, and you'll get a ticket. Come back and ride this ride between 1:30 and 2:30 p.m.
Oh. I was going to say, I think I remember that, but that's what Speed Pass is. You put your ticket in a thing, and it's not any big deal. It's just you have to come back at a preordained time.
4 hours later.
Right.
Wow. So I said, well, we got no choice.
Did you think it was something where you just walk up and you were in a special line or something?
Well, that's how they sell it to you, and they, yeah, they got a big express line there. Mm-hmm. So what we do is I get the ticket and I go, well, you know, I go, geez, it's 9:30. It's next as we get in at 1:30. We could wait an hour and 15 minutes in line, but I want to do that. It's pouring rain. Let's see if we can go to the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. So we go to the Aerosmith.
I'm glad you took notes.
We go to the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster, and the wait time there for anybody without the anybody that's not been dumb enough to buy the Speed Pass is 90 minutes. But with the Speed Pass, it says next ride at 10:30. So thinking, well, now we'll get our Speed Pass here. We'll go on this ride. Then we'll only have three more hours until we can go on the Tower of Terror.
God, it's horrible.
The problem
it's
is,
it's such a horrible way to amuse oneself.
The problem is we wait in line in the Speed Pass lane. We get up there, and we put our tickets in, and the guy in the bad costume says, you can't get a ticket for the roller coaster. I said, why? He said, because the computer says you've already been issued a first early pass for Tower of Terror. I said, right, but that's not till 1:30.
They F you. Oh, they are designed to F you.
Guy said, well, I'm sorry, but you can only be issued one free pass at a time.
Oh.
He said, because if we didn't have this policy, you could run all over the park, you could get tickets for all the rides, and this is where I started to lose it with this guy. I said, yeah, and what you could do is actually go and get tickets so you could plan it out, like to go on a ride and then go on another ride.
And never have to wait.
And mm-hmm. go on another ride.
Which is what it's for. Yeah.
But you're telling me that I'm not going to be able to get a ticket for the Aerosmith Rock and Roll Roller Coaster.
Until after you go on the
until after I've been on
Tower
the
of Terror.
Tower of God. Terror.
At 1:30.
I can't go on for four more hours.
So you have to have the knowledge to get the Speed Pass that'll go earliest.
So what we have to do is go back to Tower of Terror, tell them to cancel that, then go back to the Aerosmith ride. Well, by the time we got back to the Aerosmith ride, the 10:30 had already been filled up.
Oh, no.
So we got a pass for the 11:30 for the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Jesus.
Thinking
meanwhile, you're going to lose your place in line for the Tower of Terror.
Yeah, the Tower of Terror, we'll deal with that when we deal with it. Now, this is the problem with Disney. You wait, and you wait, and you wait. And you have to go through advertisements on your way into the ride. You are bombarded with ads the whole way in. They got that goddamn way of where you think you're making progress, but you're really not making progress. You're going up and down and up and down.
I think they invented that, didn't they?
And then here's the freaking problem. The ride lasts 80 seconds. I timed it. 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Typical.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You want to go on the Disney Tower of Terror, where you get into an elevator that supposedly drops you 7 floors? Great, if you've got 3 hours to wait for 80 seconds of pleasure, F that. So, I got very mad.
That's great. I really do think you're providing a public service.
I got very mad the second day, and Frida said, it's probably because the weather's bad. And
this is Sunday or Monday?
This is Sunday.
All right.
Sunday at MGM. Things will be better tomorrow because the weather's going to be good. Tomorrow we're going to the Magic Kingdom.
Hey. Now, wait a minute. You said Saturday you checked in, and you had said that Sunday, you had resigned yourself to the fact that Sunday was going to be a good day, but you had a meltdown because of the Tower of Terror.
But it wasn't a real meltdown.
And do you resign yourself on Sunday that Monday was going to be a better day?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that I've got the credit, because I'm sorry, but I'm enjoying myself.
And I've made this pledge to my family. Because
you are going to be a prince of a guy on Monday.
I'm a total jerk on Sunday. As a matter of fact, at one point, really, how psychotic is this? I swear to God, I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm walking through the park, and just to myself, I'm saying, I hate Disney. Yes, I do. I hate Disney.
You're not abnormal.
F-F-U. I hate Disney. I went in the bathroom, and I'm standing there taking a pee.
Just the one. I couldn't hear it because I just went right. Like that in the wall in front of me. Just because I said, I hate this place. I hate this place. I hate being here. I hate being here. I hate it. I hate it. I swear to Christ that I put some cold water on my face, then go out and
check your pulse.
Say, hey, how you guys doing?
How is everybody?
And then my wife had the grand idea.
Oh, no.
One more, Robbie, before we got a break.
Okay.
She says, I have made us reservations at the Sci-Fi Diner for 1:15.
Hey. That'll be great. You've got a reservation, so there won't be any waiting.
Food from the future.
We get to the Sci-Fi Diner at 1:15, and we are told, congratulations, you have a reservation. You will be seated sometime in the next hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And I am
get out
of
knife.
You know, a lot of times I exaggerate. These are no exaggerations.
No, I've been there. I know what you're talking about.
So,
anybody that's listening that's been there, they know what's going on.
We wait 1 hour.
The full hour, of course.
We wait 1 hour to be brought to our table.
Wow.
Now, here's the draw with this restaurant. You're sitting in cars. Okay? It's like, you know, the Pulp Fiction restaurant? It's like that. Like the place John Travolta went with the Uma Thurman. You're sitting in cars, and they're showing
Jackrabbit Slims.
And they're showing on a big
Rock for the world famous Jackrabbit Slims.
On a big screen, they're showing, you know, like old-time intermission ads from drive-in theaters.
That's nice.
And the waiter comes over, and we have some of the worst food I've ever eaten. And the bill for the three of us, $75 before tip.
Wow.
So at this point, I said, this was Sunday, about 3 o'clock, I said, well, I've been at it 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I can't take this anymore. I can't. And I, again, this
is Grandma along for
no,
this?
No, no, no. Grandma's stayed in the room.
Probably the happiest member of the crew.
Grandma has stayed in the room. I've apologized to my wife and to my son. I said, I'm sorry. I know I was a dick yesterday when we were checking in. I was a dick today. I promise tomorrow I'll really pull it together.
Right, right.
Tomorrow I'll make it happen.
Tomorrow will be a better day.
Okay. Right. Well,
you can tell us about tomorrow?
Yeah, in a second. That was the worst day.
Oh, no.
That was the worst day.
The worst day.
Okay? And then I got to tell you, conversely, how great Universal was.
Ah.
But
yep.
Really, Disney, Rob, I know, 30 seconds on this.
Okay.
Very quickly. In the monsoon, while we were walking through the ABC commissary, they were the studios for Radio Disney. I walked up to the window and said to the girl, hi, do you have disc jockeys from all across America come and broadcast from Walt Disney World? She said, yes, we do. I said, my favorite DJs are from Washington, D.C., Don and Mike. Can you tell me if they are going to be here? She said, just a moment, and she slid the little door shut. She comes back with her clipboard, and she says, I asked you not. She says, was that Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara? And I said, yes. And she said, they will not be here. I said, oh, they're my favorites. She said, they were here once. They won't be here. And then she says, have you ever heard of Jack Diamond?
When's he going to be there?
I said, yeah. He'll be here in May.
Yeah, of course he will.
Right.
Yeah, they'll have to go back.
Hold on a second. Let me just yell at some stupid bitch. What is this? Fast Pass is an extra charge? Please, honey. It's not at Universal if you stay on property. Hello, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is this Donna Mike?
Yeah, Katie, you're wrong. Fast Pass is extra charge.
I went back there in October, and I never had to pay anything extra.
Hey, bitch, I was just there.
Oh, God.
I was just there, dumb bitch. I paid.
Sorry, I'm just telling you what I know.
Yeah, what you know is dick.
I was just there.
You know, can anyone feel the Disney love?
Yeah,
right,
this woman doesn't work for Disney.
I was just there. Just there.
Sorry, I'm just telling you what I know.
Oh, she's not going to let it go.
No. You know, I didn't have to pay anything extra.
Maybe it's because they had a See You in Toledo special.
Oh, God.
Oh. Hold on. Is somebody on?
That's Bart.
Hello?
Hey, baby.
Yes, my darling.
Did we have to pay extra at Disney for the FASP thing?
No, darling.
Oh.
You just, we didn't have a special thing. I read later what we could have had. I didn't tell you this because I knew you didn't even want to talk about it. But
oh, hold on. I got to apologize to this lady.
Yeah.
Rob says no doubt.
Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch.
Oh,
she's gone. Oh, I'm sorry, bitch. Anyway.
He's sorry. He was wrong. He did not know. You just had to do like Mike said, too. You go and stand in the line for the extra.
All right.
You know.
Okay, so we didn't. I thought we paid. Honey, I got a break. Thank you, though.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you pay for it.
On the other line. Bart. Marty? Hello? Yeah, he's gone.
You know, it doesn't matter. They bill it as a special thing. If you do this,
it's
a little machine, right? Is it a little machine, like a little ATM?
Yeah.
That you put your little ticket in,
like,
and they say this is their big solution, you know, so you don't have to wait in line. And the problem is, it's always 2 and 3 hours
Hello, Rich.
You know, between the time.
All right. Here's what I love. Guys,
hey, Don?
On the screen, I don't know how to do Disney. Really?
Don?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you some kind of moron?
Perhaps.
Do you know what the busiest time of year at Disney is besides Christmas?
Christmas is the busiest.
Spring break.
Yeah, hey,
Every
dummy.
Man does Disney. It's spring break.
Eat me.
You know, we
My
have to
kid
we take our
break.
Breaks when we take our breaks.
Hello, Barty. Are you there? Bart?
Like, this is the whole Disney thing coming.
I can't figure that out. We got a break.
We're going to punch something else down.
I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I can't remember being surrounded by so much happiness. I'm so happy. I can't wait to come back tomorrow.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, if I didn't have so much Disney venom, I'd be talking to you already for Buzz's news, which we'll get to. We're going to run late tonight. The show's going to run over tonight. Everybody deal with it.
Deal with it.
Miramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer is doctor developed.
Did someone call for a doctor?
Clinically tested Miramax works. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Viromax. 1-888. Try VMAX. If I don't go with this now, I'm going to lose my momentum.
I know.
So I've been through Saturday and Sunday.
And then now you've said once again that Monday you're going to be better. Everything's going to be fine.
Right. And I took a Xanax.
Oh.
My mother-in-law gave me a Xanax.
Just to calm you down.
Says, here, take this. It's like a Valium.
Right.
You'll love it. So, the weather's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Been up on Monday morning. Going to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
You get in the car. There is a 1 hour... Or not a 1 hour, 1 mile backup to get to the gates that say Magic Kingdom. We're still in the car now. Even though we've got the parking pass,
right.
We have to wait with everybody that's paying the $7. They don't have a lane that says, you know, pull in here if you have a parking pass. So we wait in the 1 hour of traffic and we park our car 10 miles away from the tram. Same situation as the day before, except this time the weather is pleasant. It's sunny and it's about 80. We get to the tram, where we have to wait in line. The tram takes us to the jam-packed entrance for the monorail, which will take us to the Magic Kingdom. The approximate wait time for the monorail to take you to the entrance to the Magic Kingdom, of which there is a wait time to get in of approximately 30 minutes... The wait time for the monorail is 1 hour and 15 minutes. So you are looking at
Turn around, 1 hour
and 45 minutes from that point until you get in the almost said the F word, the freaking front gate.
So, get ye out of there.
So I said to my wife, or she said to me, I don't know, you know what we can do? Look, at the it's early in the morning and all the little kids are going to the Magic Kingdom. No one's taking the monorail to Epcot.
Right.
Let's go to Epcot.
Everybody goes to Epcot.
So this is where I started to, even though we were compromising and we weren't waiting in line, I was really mad. And we were standing, waiting at the platform for the monorail to take us to Epcot. And the guy wearing, like, his bad Star Trek suit with his with his dumb, greasy hair said, can I answer any questions for you?
Yeah.
And I said, how do you look yourself in the morning, in the mirror every morning?
Oh, no.
Wearing that suit. What?
It's a taped solicitation.
Oh. I thought my wife would.
Honey, it's that time. It's dinner hour.
Yeah. My wife's got a Disney story, though. So anyway, we get on this thing to go to Epcot, and we get to Epcot, and we go on the GM test track, which it just is. They might as well be the BM track, where you wait in line. Again.
Did you have a meltdown at the monorail? Did you have a total meltdown or?
No. It was. We were in Epcot.
Okay.
So I had my meltdown at my mini meltdown, the beginning meltdown.
Right.
Where I said to my family, I can't do this. I can't. It's an hour and 15 minute wait for the monorail, and then it's another half hour to get in. I can't do this. So my wife said, chill out, and we'll go to Epcot first.
Sure.
We go to Epcot. Well, we figure a scam. My mother-in-law will get her a wheelchair. Because she's old, and
right.
You got the thing where if you get a wheelchair, maybe we'll be able to get to the front of the line.
Right.
Well, we rented the wheelchair for $8, and then we were told that unless my mother-in-law had documentation from a doctor saying that she actually had a medical condition,
that
the wheelchair would do you no good, and she would simply have to wait in line.
Wow.
I can't believe you're just skirting over the fact that they're renting wheelchairs.
So
people that need a wheelchair should really be provided with one.
But the thing about Disney that I knew is that the wheelchair scams are used by families, that people would put people in a wheelchair. And it still sucks that they have to have documentation, because there are legitimate people. Like, and you know what? Your mother-in-law, I mean, walking around the park at her age all day, I mean, she gets tired.
We waited in line to go on this stupid test track, which sucked ass. It's a commercial for GM. I got no problem with that. I drive a GM truck.
Thank you.
But you wait in line for 45 minutes while you're watching these goddamn fake crash test dummies as they're pretending to make cars, and then you go on what is essentially a kiddie ride, except for the last 5 seconds where you go 64 miles an hour.
Very exciting.
The part that goes outside. It sucked. We got done with it, and my wife said, okay, let's go back to the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where the meltdown began.
Okay.
We're pushing my mother-in-law. I'm pushing her along in the wheelchair, and what we want to do is leave Epcot and go to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Guy stops me and says, what are you doing? I said, we're leaving. He says, you got to leave the wheelchair here. I said, we've rented the wheelchair for the day. Guy said, take the card out that has your name on it that shows that you've rented it, and you can get another wheelchair in the Magic Kingdom. I said, we have the wheelchair because my mother-in-law is not well, and she can't. Well, I'm sorry, you can't take the wheelchair out of Epcot. You can get another wheelchair at the Magic Kingdom.
Rules.
I said, okay, fine, thank you. We went outside. We got to the monorail stand. We got all the way back where we began. And if possible, the line to get into the monorail that goes to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Was even longer 2 hours later. And that is where I lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really lost it. I said to my wife, my mother-in-law, my son, I said, and this was around people, it was Spanish, I said, this is a fiasco. Nobody sees this. We are waiting in line all day to go on rides that suck. We're paying $75 for a grilled cheese sandwich. I'm not going to wait an hour and 15 minutes to go on a monorail to wait an hour to get into the Magic Kingdom to go on a roller coaster. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it anymore.
And my wife said...
Everybody likes staring.
Yeah.
Everybody's clutching their children.
Hello?
I'm almost afraid to talk to you now. I remember vacationing with that guy.
Yeah. It was at that point that
she said, my wife said, just go then. Leave.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the Animal BM Hotel. Just go. And
right.
As it turns out, my mother-in-law hated it as well, so my mother-in-law and I left.
Went with you.
We went back to the hotel.
To be fair, we had a nice time, and it was okay. It was nothing wrong with it, but it was so incredibly expensive. I mean, you wonder how. I mean, we're older, and we have an adult child, but you see people with a couple of kids, a young family, you think, how in the heck are you paying for this? Then you see grandma and grandpa toddling after them. You think,
tell them about the thing at the bar.
And then
you're going to love this.
It's like everything you had to pay for. And I was at the bar just getting the beer, which was not inexpensive in itself, and I saw some beer nuts on the bar, and I said to the bartender, I said, oh, could I have some nuts also? Well, you have to order those off the menu.
Wow.
I mean, like bar snacks? They don't even...
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They are the effers of effers.
So I had at the monorail center is where I had the meltdown. And I said to each of them, to Frida, to Bart, to Big Frida, I said,
right.
I love you. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassing you. I don't mean to. I took a Xanax today. I'm doing everything I can. But I'm telling you something. I'm going to go out of my freaking mind. I hate Disney World. I never wanted to come here. I hate it. I hate everything about it. I hate the elitist attitude. I hate the way they look down at you. I hate the Nazis. I hate the rules. I hate everything. And then she said, go back to the hotel.
Have a nice afternoon, dear.
Yeah.
I'll keep up. Here's another bit of great Disney magic. They have a cigar store. If you go to downtown Disney, they have a cigar store.
Reasonably priced?
Surprising.
Okay.
Because it was independently owned and operated. Let me say
that. There you go. I go in. Oh, baby, I got a break.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you, too.
I go in and buy the cigar. I walk out of the cigar shop, light it up, and a guy comes over and says, excuse me, no smoking. I said, you just sold me.
Oh, my God.
I was in the cigar shop.
You just sold me a cigar.
I
can't smoke it outside.
I just bought, sir, there's no smoking. I said,
no smoking in Disney.
I said, I just bought this cigar in this shop in downtown Disney.
He's starting to cry now.
There's no smoking. I said, well, I'm going to smoke it anyway. You'll be asked to leave the park. I said, if I go to the Virgin Megastore, am I not allowed to listen to a CD that I buy in there? And the idiot guy goes, oh, no, you could do that. So at that point, I said, F it. I went back to the pool. I waited for them to come back.
Could you smoke at your Disney pool?
I'm glad you asked, Mike.
Could you smoke your cigar at your Disney pool?
I'm glad you asked. I was in a corner by myself, off, way far away from the pool and any kids.
Right.
In a very secluded area where I had... the chair was next to one of those big trash cans that have an ashtray on top of them.
Right.
And
an ashtray on top would tell you smoking.
One of the Disney Nazis with the earpieces came over and said, excuse me, there's no smoking. I said, well, I've noticed around the pool area there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
six of these trash cans that have ashtrays on top of them. Well, yes, they're here, but we don't allow smoking.
It would cost money to replace those.
I said, but there's nobody around me. Look where I am. There are 27 chairs around me. I'm purposely sitting by myself. I just want to have my cigar and read my book and have my drink. Sir, I'm sorry. I said, I tell you what, why don't you bring a manager over? He said,
you're not going
to
win.
I'd be glad to.
You're not going
to
win.
He brings the manager over. Manager comes over.
Anything wrong here?
He goes, oh. He goes, hi. How's your Disney day? Swear to God, how's your Disney day? I said, not too great. I want to smoke my cigar here. There are no kids around. There's nobody here. I'm in the shady area. You have an ashtray here, yet this guy is telling me you can't smoke the cigar. And then it turned around because he said, just this once, as long as you stay right here, it's okay.
And good manager.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you, my friend.
Manager.
Thank you.
God,
thank you.
Wonder
you
have a good Disney
thank
day.
You,
and
please.
You did have a good Disney. No, he was a good guy. He let you smoke your cigar.
So
Disney.
I hated. I hated everything about
it. I hate it too. I think it's an asshole.
Let me just say, let me give you the flip side. Then the next day we go to Universal Studios. Now I swear to Christ, it's not because I hate Disney because we hate him on the show.
Yeah, but it has something to do with it.
But Universal is so different.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you stay in a hotel, and it's not a prefab hotel. It's a nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Costs a little less than the Disney hotel, but it's a nicer hotel. If you stay at the hotel, you get the card where you actually do get to go and butt in line.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to wait for a set time to go on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on the ride whenever the frig you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Universal, and that is when the great transformation happens.
Right.
As soon as we leave all of the and you know, incidentally, down at Disney, they got their own cops.
Mm-hmm.
They got their own legal system. I mean, you know, they had a Disney cop out there with a speed gun,
mm-hmm,
pulling people over for speeding.
Wow.
So once you're off the Disney property, it's like you're out of the
The fines go directly to Eisner.
You're out of the demilitarized zone. Once you got the Universal, immediately I said, you know, I feel like the weight of the world is off my shoulders.
Yeah.
We checked into the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. I said, let's go right now. It was Wednesday. Look, let's go right now. Let's go hit this park. We go over there, and I mean, I'm out of my mind because it's Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, Doctor Doom, Captain America, X-Men.
Sure.
I'm nuts. I'm so happy that it's the exact opposite of the day before when I was screaming. I was so happy. I was dancing. I was such an a-hole the past 3 days.
Got more things for adults there. They got more stores for adults.
I'm so happy now. I said, God, I'm so happy. God, I'm sorry I was such a dick. I'm so happy now. I went on the Hulk roller coaster with my kid 5 times, went on the Spider-Man ride twice,
right.
Went on the Doctor Doom drop, got my picture taken with Spider-Man, Captain America, Rob, Frida emailed you the picture.
You're frightening me now.
With Doctor Doom. Smoke anywhere you want to. They sold adult beverages everywhere.
You can walk around with like a drink, a beer or something like
that? Yeah. The whole place.
Right.
Let me just say that.
And it's great. You know, it's good for little kids. I've taken little kids there, and it's good for them, too.
And they're not paying me dick to say this, but I'm telling you, it's just different. And finally, the last night we were in Orlando, my wife, the saint that she is, got us reservations at the Palm Restaurant.
Oh, God.
So the final night in Orlando,
you get to go to your favorite place.
We dined at the Palm Restaurant.
So it ended up, it's a happy ending.
It was a happy ending.
Between the Norwalk virus and the Disney meltdown, you had one little smiling moment.
One last thing. My son pointed this out in Disney. When we were waiting for something, we're standing by one of the little kiosks where they sold Coca-Colas.
Waiting for anything.
And you can buy the thing that's got Mickey Mouse, the Coca-Cola thing that's got Mickey Mouse on the top of it. And the straw is coming
out of Mickey's body where his penis would be. And Mickey has his hands in the air.
So it's kind of a perverse thing.
At this, my son says, hey, Dad, look at that. That looks like if you were to drink that soda pop, you'd be essing Mickey's D. And the more I looked at it, and Mickey's got a proud look on his face, and he's got his arms out to the side.
Sure.
And yeah, right where his penis would be.
That is probably a protest from the Imagineers.
Anyway, there you go.
By design, like, you know when they do the animation art for the cover of the videos?
Right.
And they'll, like, throw a penis in there?
There you go. Sorry, I went way too long with that, but did I get it all? Yeah, Epcot sucked. Meltdown. Yeah, okay.
I got you're glad to be back.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Oh, boy, am I. Stand by.
What's the buzz?
We'll get an update from Bob. I know we're running late tonight.
What's the buzz?
Well, what do you want?
For nothing.
Rubber biscuit. Gone for 2 weeks. Got lots of junk to get on today's show.
Right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
It'll be a very brief segment, like a 5-minute segment, but stations, please, if you can, stay with us, okay? Buzz, apologize for the lateness.
What
happened again? What is your lead story today?
Well, our long national nightmare is over. David Letterman returns tonight.
Oh, how exciting.
Yep, okay. Yeah, and especially if you've seen the guest host.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
PU. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting live from right above Buzz Burbank's parking spot. The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, tomorrow we're going to have a normal show. Try to get back to a normal show. Wednesday we're having a live sex toy party show. Giving away a love swing. And Friday and Monday we'll be live from New Orleans for the NCAA Final Four. Now it's time for a call number 100. Call 101. Here's the deal. We have tickets to the Orioles play the Indians at Camden Yards Wednesday night.
It'll be warmer then.
Boy, I hope they haven't taken us off 105.7 already because we're running over tonight. Orioles and the Indians, Camden Yards, Wednesday night, courtesy of Comcast, Sportsnet, and the O's, who invite you to April's second World Series commemorative game. April 2nd. World Series commemorative game.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Me either. Comcast Sportsnet brings you full coverage every day's game day on Comcast Sportsnet. Tickets for the first two people to call right now.
You're
going to print it because now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. David Letterman returns to his late show tonight after being sidelined since last month with a case of shingles. When we last saw
makes
him...
Makes me laugh when you say that.
And it's funny. We last saw him February 25th. He was complaining about some swelling in his right eye. That turned out to be the chickenpox-related viral infection known as shingles.
Got the shingles, yeah.
Since then, there have been repeats, preemptions for war and basketball coverage, and a string of guest hosts. Doctors say the eye swelling cleared up quickly, but that the severe pain associated with shingles kept Dave at home.
I will look forward to that monologue.
And, you know, I've logged just about all of the guest hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn was outstanding.
Right.
But so was Paul Schaefer.
Right.
The night that Paul Schaefer did it.
I haven't gone through him yet.
He's pretty good.
All right, good.
It's a good one. Before his heart surgery 3 years ago, Letterman hadn't missed a show in 20 years.
He's got my work ethic, Buzz.
Yes, he does. War reporter Peter Arnett has apologized for what he said, but he's been fired by NBC News nevertheless.
Again?
In an interview with Saddam-controlled Iraqi television, Arnett said the American-led war plan had failed. He now says giving the interview was a misjudgment, and quoting him, I want to apologize to the American people.
You know who failed? His barber. Have you seen that bad comb over that guy had?
Well, all you have to do is put the little little bolts in his neck, and he looks like Frankenstein.
I mean, Tony Kornheiser laughs at his comb over.
The British-accented reporter won a Pulitzer Prize for his work for the Associated Press during the Vietnam War. He became more well-known during his reporting on the first Gulf War.
Here's Peter Arnett
right now. And Fox News Channel correspondent Geraldo Rivera is still in Iraq denying that he's been kicked out for reporting on U.S. troop movements.
He says it's a lie being spread by competitors at MSNBC.
Movement.
But sources at U.S. Central Command have said Rivera was asked to leave because he did reveal tactical information.
Douchebag. I think something I don't like about the Fox News Channel, and I go between them and CNN like everybody else.
Right. Right.
The fact that they have the bumpers now where they say shots from the war or memories or you know, scenes, postcards. Yeah. And what it is there are guys and gals that are fighting over there. Mm-hmm. And you know, to say, for instance, you know, hi, my name is Mike, and I'm from Virginia. I'm with the 141st Airborne. I want to tell my mom I love her. Mm-hmm. And I love Fox News Channel.
Yeah, I think it's BS.
You
a little
know,
weird.
Let him do
Fox
the,
is doing some things that are a little strange.
Let him do the thing that says hi to the family and friends, but don't say at the end, you know.
And you know, war or no war, you want objective journalism. You want to get the real story. And Fox,
barren balance.
Yeah, right. Fox is a little strange.
We gotta wind it up, Buzz. Everybody's mad at us.
All right, in sports, baseball Hall of Famer Kirby Puckett on trial in Minneapolis today denied dragging a woman into a restaurant bathroom and groping her. Puckett says he escorted her as a gentleman.
But Gary's very upset.
You know, all I have to say about that story is, Puckett. And finally,
woman. Younger. Get out of my mind.
Don, that's Gary Puckett.
Sorry.
Gary, yeah.
Lady, willpower.
You love those
it's
things.
It's now or never.
Puckett. Finally, instead of telling women to put their heads on our shoulders, maybe...
This girl is a woman now.
Maybe
Puckett.
Maybe we should tell women to put their heads under our shoulders. A new study says the sweat of our armpits is good for them. The unsuspecting women in this University of Pennsylvania study believed they were testing perfumes and lemon floor waxes.
Dude, not you are so gross.
That ain't my feet.
You are so gross. You just put your whole hand under your armpit. Now you're smoking.
I like the smell of my own BO, though.
Yeah,
I do.
But the substance being placed on the women's upper lips was the underarm sweat of men.
How come somebody didn't call Bob Seska?
He always said it wasn't my armpits, it was his clothes.
Why, he always had chicks.
Remember B.O. Bob?
Sure.
B.O. Bob.
The study found that the aromatherapy reduces stress in women, relaxes them, and even affects their menstrual cycles.
Oh, Buzz.
We all check ourselves. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! All right, that's it. We gotta go. No, please, no. We gotta go. We're on vacation. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks, everyone.
Enjoy. All right. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey,
that's not under.
What?
You need to do that?
Nah, we get the winners off of here.
Okay?
All right. Hey, Linus.
Yeah.
Right.
DM. Eaters.
Do we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.